keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right. Because you're mine, I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Hey, man. How's everybody doing tonight? It's a different Conti and Kenny show, of course. We have some different people in here tonight. We have Champagne Mike, who hasn't been here in a while, and our pal Joe Coletta, Cousin Joe Show.
Hello.
How you doing?
All right.
We have a lovely lady here who happens to periodically have sex with me. So
thank you very much.
Yeah.
He's thanking her for having sex with him.
Yeah, I'm thanking her for having sex with me. And, of course, my partner, Kenny Michaels.
Yes.
And tonight's a different type of a show. It's not a show.
It's a different type of night.
Yeah. And everybody who's listening knows, of course, great guy, legend, whatever you want to call him, but he was our fucking friend, passed away last night, Otto Peterson. And it's more shocking than I think, even though he lived a life on the edge, it's still more shocking to me than finding out a 25-year-old just up and died. Because he just, he was a different type of a person. I called him a machine. He was a monster. There's nothing that could penetrate my friend. Mm. Like, I felt like I could just stand behind him. And if they were shooting bullets at us, it'd be like, yeah, Otto could take it. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? He'll take all of the bullets. It'll protect me. And
did you mention yet that it's Otto and George?
Otto Peterson. I don't know. You know what? Fuck that. If you don't know who Otto Peterson is, but of course it's Otto from George.
Otto and George.
He's my pal. He's our pal. We know him as Otto Peterson.
I call him Peterson. Hello, Peterson.
Yeah, I used to call him Puppet Head, you know, Peterman. You know, whatever it was.
Tonight's going to be a different show.
We got a bunch more people coming down.
Bunch of people coming up.
Bunch of people calling
from,
in.
From days ago, guys that started with me and Joe at the time when Otto took us, you know, kind of under his wing.
Yeah.
And we weren't sure if we were going to do a show tonight because getting the news this morning and all day, it's just been surreal. It's been, you know, completely, what do you do when one of your best friends, you know, out of nowhere, wake up.
The term dead, that I heard a lot today from a lot of people was it's like a punch in the stomach.
Yeah.
And I think most people who either, even people who didn't know him, they just knew him as that guy, you know, the comedian, the famous guy, still were like, you know, just I think the way a lot of people felt when Patrice died, where it was like, what the fuck?
It's very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
especially with Otto like that, you would never expect a guy like that. Such a hard fucking.
He's just a machine.
He took and everything and. Yeah.
He almost died last year.
Anybody else,
going through that with the flight and going into Canada and almost dying through meningitis. And he's just like,
it happened. He'll make some jokes about it.
What am I going to do?
He goes, I had a dream. I was shooting at cops and robbers, and I was on a horse. He had some kind of whacked out dream when he was in a coma.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and he was just living vividly in a drug-induced coma. But that's Otto. Tonight, it's going to be a little tough one, but it's not. There's no possible way he will smack us in the face if we just sit here.
Yeah, just start blubbering about it.
Yeah,
you know I mean?
Might blubber. But we're going to tell some stories. We're going to play some clips. A bunch of good stuff. A lot of good pals are coming down. They're going to tell. It's just going to be. You know what it is? It's just like if I passed away. I would want you guys to do this for me.
Let's not get crazy and compare you.
The show would be canceled because Conti would be throwing a party.
Yeah. It may not be as many good stories, but there might be some good stories.
It's more or less of, he never called me back. That's going to be the one. going to be what everybody said about Kenny.
Uh-huh, exactly.
But if you do want to call in, first of all, if you want to go in any of the chat rooms, it's morelikeradio.com/live. Or ContiandKenny.com/listen now. Or if you'd like to call us, the phone number is 240-HI-CNK. Which I never can remember the number, which of course is 240-442-2635.
If anybody listening has personal stories about Otto or anything or...
Absolutely. This is more or less of what are we calling it? A tribute? I don't know. Whatever we're calling it. It's just us talking about our friend who made everybody around him better.
Yeah.
And also made everybody a little bit. Your life was a little bit more fun around him. You know?
Life was better with him. Your life was better around him.
Panda Paws in the chat.
Panda Paws.
Jesus Christ.
Now, Panda Paws, what we're going to do is with Mr. Coletti here, he's going to help us out. In 2008, me and Joe Conti, we did on the Opie and Anthony channel, the Virus channel, on a Saturday night.
Right, before they went to Sirius.
They went to Sirius, they were on XM, and that's where Panda Paws, Dan Sweeney, that's where Panda Paws came from. Because he was in studio. Remember they had the big studio where there was the couches, the bleachers for the fans.
Right.
But when we were doing the show, it was called Puppies in Sunshine with Otto and George. And back then, on every Saturday night, they would do a Virus channel where it would be Patrice would do a show, or Vossen would do a show, or Bobby Kelly would do a show.
Yeah.
And we did one with Otto, and Panda Paws was in. That's where Panda Paws came from.
Interesting thing about Panda Paws, which is our friend Dan. Dan is the guy who did the recording. If you guys, anybody who's fans of Opie and Anthony, the classic bit with the two... kids who were mentally challenged singing the theme song to Dirty Dancing.
Oh, yeah. Dan, I had the time of my life.
Time of my life.
Yeah.
Dan Panda Paws is the guy who was working the studio. Yes.
Oh, shit. Okay.
He was working the place on the boardwalk or wherever recorded it. And sent it to Opie and Anthony.
Yeah.
They were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, and they knew. They were like, we think we got this first. We think somebody sent it to us.
But we know that.
Because we know Dan.
Right.
And Dan was the one, Panda Paws, who sent that to them. So there's all these connections. Big A's coming in a little bit. So there's going to be all these connections between...
Johnny O is there. He might call in.
Johnny O's definitely going to call in. Glenn Miller's probably going to call in.
Yes.
Glenn Miller was very a big... part of helping Otto write his 5 minutes of clean Letterman material.
Yes.
The hard-on thing.
I mean, that was Glenn and Otto working together.
Yeah.
So Glenn, you know, there's all these little ties with things where, you know, like there are things that we're going to know that a lot of people don't know. So hopefully we can give people a little bit more insight.
What tonight's going to be is...
Adventureland on Long Island is where he recorded it.
There it is, Adventureland.
Fucking love you, man.
For me and Joe, when we first started, doing stand-up 10, 12 years ago, whatever it is.
You know your career is going shitty where I actually start telling people I'm doing it less time than I really am. I'm like, yeah, I've been doing it about 8 years. And they're like, really? Good. Yeah. You're about where you should be. Yeah, that's where I should be.
Yeah.
I don't tell them I'm doing this shit like 14 years. So.
Yeah.
Because you're humble 10, 12, and you realize how amazing years. You are.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
But someone like Otto was so influential. Me personally, because, you know, growing up, I mean, not growing up, but working before I started doing stand-up, I would listen to O&A. Yeah. You know what I mean? I would listen to Stern and whatnot, and I would hear Otto on all of them for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally got to work with him. I think it was a clam hut on Route 9. No, the first time was The Groove.
In Lyndhurst.
In Lyndhurst, yeah. Yes. It was bullshit when I first started. And when I first got to hang out with him, it was called something on 9. Remember the clam hut on Route 9?
Down in like Sayreville?
Yeah, down in Sayreville.
No, that's...
It's gone.
Pier
now.
9.
Pier 9, yes. Yes.
Pier 9, that's when they had the hot mud, the mud wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, during between a comedy show, it two was, chicks, mud
it was,
wrestling.
It was before. Yeah, it was a couple of, it was a Welcome couple to- of shows before then.
Right.
But it was just a disaster. And my friend Maria came down to see me, and she's a huge O&A fan. And I'm like, hey, Maria, it's Otto. And I'm like, hey, Otto, Maria's a big fan. And he's like, yeah. All right, you know, at the bar, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had already done a couple of shows with him already. But Otto was a guy that, you know, a lot of comics, we are privileged because he took us under his wing, you know? And my first road gig, he took me out to Pennsylvania, and I ate shit, but the funnest part was afterwards. Where some guy walks up and he goes, "You were great in Fine Young Cannibals," and the dude looked exactly like the lead singer. How does he know what the lead singer of Fine Young Cannibals? But it was brilliant. We had so much more fun afterwards. It was one of those shows where a guy came up afterwards and he's like, "Ah, man, I feel really bad for you," because I was so nervous. Right. You know, it's Otto taking me on a road gig. You know. First time, and we've been privileged. It's been an honor to grow up with him. You know what I mean? And
grow up in your comedy life with him.
Yeah, and not just he became for me and you, he became more of a guy that would get us gigs or we would pick him up. It goes beyond that because you know he spent nights at my house. He spent a week at my house. You know we pissed on his couch. You know what I mean? We had great barbecues and everything, and it was just one. It's one of those things where you look back and you don't even think. After a while, you don't even think about how much he helped me in comedy as a mentor, and being he just become it's a pal now, you know, and it doesn't even go through you have tons of stories and everything, but when a guy that you know it's not like Harrison Ford. You know what I mean? Said, hey, you took a couple of acting classes. Come with me. You know what I mean? Now you're in the movies, kid. It's not like that. It's like you're both busting your ass. You got to go to these shit gigs 6 hours away. I'm really pissed because me and Otto were supposed to be in Springfield, Mass. This weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I lost about $300 on that one.
I obviously
me and Beverly were supposed to... make a weekend to go down with Otto and Trish down to AC.
Down to AC, yeah.
We were down in Sandy Hook yesterday, and I sent him a text and just saying, hey, what's up, buddy, blah, blah, blah. But right in the chat, Bones in the chat was talking with Glenn Miller. He says, I met Glenn Miller at the same club up in Connecticut because Bones is a comic. I did the show with the same place that he met me. And Glenn Miller kept telling me about Otto and George, like 5 or 6 times. I thought, well, I guess I got to hear them. I went and saw them, laughed my ass off, the kind of hurt that hurts your stomach. Really funny dude.
Yeah.
That's what I said earlier. That's all you hear. There's very, very few guys in comedy that ever made me hurt from laughing.
And
he's one of the very few.
Yeah, I agree on that.
And, and that's, like, you guys, I don't know, I didn't know him as well as you guys did.
Oh, but you,
but it
of
was
course,
such
knew
an,
Otto.
Yeah, it was such an honor to hang out with him all those times I did. I remember I was 16. listening to Opie and Anthony, and he was
16. That's
when
hilarious.
He was first on Opie and Anthony. He was the first guy to really introduce me to dark humor. I remember he was on. He interrupted an Opie and Anthony live read for this thing called Mujan.
Yep, it's
supposed to be like a pubic hair remover. And right in the middle of Anthony's live read, Al just goes, "Yeah, I slammed my testicles in a storm window. It's okay. There's aloe in there, like this product. Put an aloe. It's fine."
Yeah, exactly.
Just trampled over, killed their sponsor.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. I never laughed so hard on the radio.
It's a classic moment in there.
And then to get to hang out with him years later with you guys, it was just. And then we had a couple of bonding moments we'll talk about later. But he was just in the sweetest fucking guy. The first time I met him in person, you guys were still doing the NIAC gig in radio.
Yeah, I might
have been too, but it was me, two of you, maybe like Bob or James and Otto. We were walking down the street, and I'm doing like the obvious De Niro in what the fuck is it with Jerry Lewis?
King Comedy.
Yeah, I was doing that character, but like in a serious way. Like, hey, so do you want to hang out sometime? You want to go to the movies? And you guys are laughing, but this is what a sweet, genuine guy Otto was. He didn't even blink. He goes, "I don't know. I don't really go to the movies that often. I don't know what's playing." I'm like, dude, I don't really want to go to the... But he was such a sweet fucking guy. Yeah. He's just so genuine and appreciative.
Yeah, Scram's in the chat room just put a picture of him when he was a street performer.
Yeah.
And we'll get into it, too, because he was a guy that left his house at like 13 years old. Staten Island, 14 years old, and he would panhandle, street perform. Not panhandle, he was street performing.
He was street performing... In
the parks
in Coney Island,
Central Park, I think, right?
Washington
First
Square Park,
Thompson
Square, Thompson Square,
Yeah,
and he would get the change and he would get the money, and then we'd go around different places. And he was in his teens, and he was living in hotels, and he would just wake up and street perform all day long.
That's pretty much a kid.
Yeah.
Baby. Right. He was a baby. Yeah. And that was his thing. And Scram's put a great picture in the
he was the first one
like
that
chat.
The first comic I've seen with you guys.
Was it really? Yeah.
Was the first.
It's a tough act to follow, isn't it? Yeah. That's the first one you've seen?
Yeah, you know what? That was in 96, 97.
Really? Right? You saw him that long ago?
I believe so.
Wow.
Yeah. I saw him before you guys came in the picture.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I remember you saying, yeah. There was a couple of joints around, and Scrams is putting a bunch of pictures up there with the old George and stuff. Jesus, Otto looks like a little girl. Look at this.
He looks hot.
Oh yeah.
If you want, go into the More Like Radio chat room.
Yeah,
it's morelikeradio.com/live. It'll be the Scrambler's kind of helping us out tonight. Him and Brent will be putting stuff in there for the whole time.
Yeah, and like I said, we're just getting started, but you know, we're gonna have other people coming around and talking, and who knows how long the show's gonna go? We're not sure. We're just kind of doing this on the seat of our pants, just because it's our pal, you know, and he meant a lot to a lot of us.
He really did, and he would make me at least with me, like he would bust my balls. Which was great, because it's not like, you know, I don't want to make fun. You know what I mean? He would bust your balls because he was your friend.
Yeah.
Not because he's some superstar, you know what I mean? Or
no,
whatever.
No.
Yeah, we got a phone call.
Like, he would bust my balls.
Conti, Kenny.
Which was great.
That's Dave.
It's not like,
hey, Dave.
Want to make fun.
Sorry, I'm turning off the...
Okay. It's Dave Cyrus, our pal. What's going on, buddy?
Hey. How you guys doing?
All right, not bad. Dave, of course, just made the movie with Otto in it and a bunch of other guys. The worst, Archie Black.
Mm-hmm.
I
posted this today because I think it's important. I wanted to let people understand that like Otto wasn't just in the movie. Otto's the reason this is a movie.
Yeah.
Because we got Otto. You helped us get Otto. And he was incredibly nice. He was incredibly cool about doing it and sitting there for like an hour and just riffing and just reading lines that I gave and making up his own stuff. And then he just loved the idea of this movie we were doing so much that he, right there in front of us, right in front of me, he called Jay Moore, Jim Norton, Jim Florentine, and Dave Attell right there. And all of them did it except for Dave Attell. So
he's a Jew.
Keep in mind, David Tell did not do it. So actually, you're right. Every non-Jew.
because you know you've known him for many, many years, yep. Going way back too, and all of a sudden he goes, "All right, this is a great concept. Let me call Jay Moore. Let me call Florentine.
Yeah, Norton.
Let me call Norton." Yeah. And they all signed on.
Yeah.
Because Otto was doing it. Otto gave this thing legitimacy. He was the only like big name comic at the time who was doing it, and he was the person who allowed people to see this is an actual real project, not like some. Because when I started this, I mean, no one knew who I was. I wasn't even like doing. I wasn't big on YouTube yet, so I really had nothing. And Otto liked me. I'd opened for him many times with you guys, and I, you know, talked to him, and he was just always such an amazing guy. I think the first show I did with Otto was The Dancing Monkey.
Oh my God! Wow, yeah, The Dancing Monkey. Yeah.
Yeah. There's Joe
Piccoli stories in that play. That fucking.
Yeah, there were more crimes committed in that place.
It was a comedy. It was a deli transformed into a comedy.
Into a comedy room. Yeah. Yes. Very small little room.
Ice cream store.
Yeah, it was an ice cream store. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember Otto, one of the lines he did, he said to this Asian guy, he said, he had George say, "Excuse me, sir, didn't I shoot you out of a tree in Korea in 1953? It was just so fucking amazing. And remember, like, I did a show with you guys where I did okay, but it was like one of my first shows from coming back from LA, and I was like doing, I did good, but not like as good as like he did. And then he said to me afterward, he was like, it doesn't matter what they think, the act is good, you didn't pander, you didn't try to fucking make them like you. And he was like so against the concept of pandering in any way to a crowd.
Yeah, he also thought that way in life too. he decided to do this thing with Dave, and it really has come into this great, great mock. What do you call it? You would call it a mockumentary.
It's a mockumentary, and we have our premiere in 3 weeks at the LA Comedy Festival.
Now. Yeah, which I'm really excited for you.
Yeah, and I just changed the credits now.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, the worst part about all this, you know, and it's only been, you know, 8, maybe not even 9, 10 hours. Is seeing the things online now, not the RIP and we miss you, but once I saw the article and I saw my friend's face with the number 1961 to 2014, that's when it really hurt me and really hit me like, fuck, like this is for real. But it's stories like this that is going to keep him alive in everybody's fucking radar for a very long time, thanks to guys like Ron and Fez and Opie and Anthony. And
we're not going to stop.
No,
there's no possible way.
You know, and but that's great, and I'm looking forward to people really getting to see Dave's movie, because you get to see Otto and because of what Otto did to get all these other people into this movie. To make Dave's movie really good.
Yeah, Holly in the chat says, I can't wait for the premiere of Archie Black so everyone can see it.
Yeah, you know, because Holly's seen it. Absolutely.
Saw it. She's one of the few people who saw it. And I still have all the original footage of Otto that I'll go back and try to, you know, preserve now. Because, I mean, Otto's a big part of the movie. There's a lot of lines that I had him do. Like some of my favorite jokes I wanted him and George to do, and he did a lot of the material on his own. He actually – and he also in the movie tells – refresh my memory. Who was he telling the story? One of the stories about Archie was a real story about the guy who called Pips and pretended to be his own manager.
Yeah, I think.
Was that?
I think it might be. Was that Pete DiLorenzo?
Is that who that was?
It might have been. If it's not, it should have been. Because he was one of those delusional fucking freaky kind of guys.
Yeah, that's great. Cause, no, that was one of the many stories in the movie that's actually real and just reappropriated for other people. And I've told you this before. One of the funnest things about the movie was after it was done, finding out that people were like, oh, by the way, that really happened, and it's about blank. And then I'd be like, oh, he's in the movie too.
Oh yeah, that's right. There was something weird about the movie where.
I don't have to lie. It's like, there was one story that turned out to be about Levy. There's a story that turned out to be about Moore. It's hilarious how many of these stories intersected with other people in the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, just hidden great stuff.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you another thing Otto told me. He said when he called Jay Moore, he calls Jay Moore and says, and by the way, all these people I've met before, but none of them remembered me, so it didn't matter. But he calls Jay Moore and says, I just did this movie. You should do a piece for it. And Jay goes, no. And then texts him back and says, you already did it? Fine. Like he made Jay feel bad about being a big shot.
shit. Yeah. Oh, man.
And also Otto has the distinction of, as far as I know, there might be other people I'm not aware of being the only person in the movie who used his actual material and made it into the movie.
Who, Otto?
Yeah, he did the whole clothesline thing, which is like an
act. he was doing some of the stuff that he does in his act.
Which I really wanted. I wanted Otto. I wanted great. George to just tell this character to kill himself.
Yeah. shit. All right, Dave. Well, listen, we got a few more people that want to call in. Once again, thanks for calling in. And Dave's website is godhatesbrickstone.com. If you don't like I don't mind plugging anybody today because, it's...
Check out the Archie Black premiere.
Yeah, you can check out the Archie...
Go to Archie Black. You go to archieblackmovie.com. That's where the trailer is, and he's in it. And, if you're in L.A., May 3rd, 11 p.m., we're premiering at the L.A. Comedy Festival.
Awesome.
And, of course, I just changed the credits appropriately.
We'll have you call in before that anyway, Dave, and really
and
pump
just,
it up.
Just to make a mention, me and Joe are in it also.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Made it to the end, Kenny. I never would have guessed.
All right, brother.
Show, guys.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, Otto was always great. He's, when I'd be working or whatnot, and he wanted to hang out, he would call me up middle of the afternoon, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "No, I'm working." He goes, "Call out. You don't look good." Fucking quick, you know what I mean? Yeah. He was rapid fire, so brilliantly
always.
Quick.
Buddha so put a Buddha's quick. In the chat room. Our friend Steven, comic, has known Otto a long time. He put a video in the chat. It's a commercial for the Dancing Monkey. Do you remember the commercial that they made for the Dancing Monkey?
No, I don't think so.
You don't
so.
Remember it? I don't know if it'll work for just audio, but we'll definitely keep it in here. Maybe we'll
see
play
if somebody
it during
could
break.
Switch it over. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know if Steven wants to call in real quick. You can definitely call in. Let me put the number in the chat. Of course, 4-2. You put it in that chat, right, bro? 263.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, Marianne did.
She did. Okay. Yeah. And I want to thank them, too, Marianne and Kitty. They said we can stay till 10 o'clock if we want. We're not sure how long we're going to go.
We'll see how
it goes. We have more people coming down to the studio and all that. My first time ever meeting Otto was at a place in Nutley, New Jersey, doing a show. Little restaurant. Let's see what we got here. Hello.
Conti and Kenny Show.
There's like a 2 second delay. Hello.
Hey, it's Buddha.
Hey, Steve. What's going on, man?
What's up, guys?
What's up there,
bro?
Pal?
Not much, man.
Sucks balls, bro.
It sure does, my friend. It sure does.
I got a text this morning from Carucci. Just two words. That Otto died, and I'm looking at it for like 10 minutes, bro. Like what?
Yeah. You had to think there was something weird about it when it comes from Carucci. There was a chance that it could be a fucked up text message.
Well,
that there's
first
a
of
chance
all,
that Otto was not.
And, you know.
What was it? What did you say? There was a chance what?
I said it was all spelled correctly, so I knew it was serious.
I've been waiting for the Carucci died text message for like 5, 6, 7 years.
You should.
I got four. I got seven of those. But he's all right.
You should rephrase the way you say that. You're like, I've been.
I
waiting.
Shouldn't really talk either.
No, not you. I'm talking to Kenny. Like, yeah, I've been waiting for the Carucci died text message. Like you've been yearning for.
No,
it.
No,
sounds
no.
pretty anxious.
yeah, very assumptive on your point, but I know what you're saying. It's and this also. What it does, it brings back a lot of memories because what happens is I hear from Buddha, who I haven't heard from in a while. And you know what somebody said to me today? They go, we have to get in touch with Richie Triola. Remember Richie?
Richie
Triola
is
not part of Facebook. He doesn't do Twitter. Richie knows... he's known Otto for 30 years. He was a comic forever. Worked
and,
for the
and he was on Stairway to Heaven.
Stairway to Stardom.
I talked to Otto like 3 weeks ago, and he asked me, he said, "Hey, Buddha, you remember that smelly fucking homeless funny guy with the guitar with the hand on top. Who was that guy?
That was
James O'Malley.
Yeah, my God. But
Otto's the reason why I do comedy, bro. I saw him, you know, in the area at Bananas and stuff, and one day I saw him in Lyndhurst at The Groove. You guys remember that place?
Of course.
Of course, yeah.
The Groove, yeah.
And so I said, dude, you're amazing, you're funny. I think I made him laugh or whatever. First of all, he said, what are you, whatever it is you're eating, you're allergic to it. he goes, stop it. But, he said, he gave me, he's like, go to Rascals, try it out, see if you like it.
Whatever you're eating, you're allergic to it.
I met, on the first night of Rascals on the bill was Joe Conte and Kyle and the Bag of Nuts and Johnny O and fucking all these guys, man.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget, that was a Monday night.
That we
night,
all
right?
grew up with.
Yeah.
I mean, Otto brought a lot of shit together, you know?
He did. You know, because he didn't care. He never looked. He looked at everybody like, hey, I'm just like you. I just been doing this longer, and I got a puppet. He used to say, I'm jealous of you guys because all you got to do is walk up there, talk, and then leave. Me, I have to get a trunk. I have to put this thing in the trunk, lug it with me, take it out of the car, bring it to the place. Then I.
Bro, we're
to...
in the middle of Ohio, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
In front of a bunch of hicks.
Just yeah.
Me and him drove up there one time, and, you know, because I was the chauffeur that month.
Of course.
And, you know. He says to me, he's on stage, he did good, you know, whatever. And you know how he gets down on himself really, really quickly.
Yes.
Like if the place isn't going ballistic.
Right.
He'll go, my name's Buddha, good night.
Yes.
Or, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Or, you know,
he said your name a bunch of times.
Oh, my God. He said, it's like, oh, my God. He's just, what a pistol, bro. He was my idol as far as comedy, and then it was like, wow, I get to hang out with this guy.
That was the coolest thing about him. That was the coolest thing about him was that you were like, this is like a guy that I'm like, wow, I mean, holy shit. And then you're hanging out with him, and he's like, yeah, what's up, schmuck?
Well, that was the coolest thing, like you mentioned before. He never like looked at himself as that like big star that he was, like that. You know, he never put himself above.
He would say all the time. He would say, you know, whoever he's talking to, me or. Buddha, listen, you're talented. He goes, I hide behind a fucking puppet.
he goes,
I couldn't do what you guys do.
He always said that to us. But whatever his thing was, he was the master at... And you know what? It was put best by Penn Jillette on the Aristocrats thing.
Oh, okay.
Was, if you watch this guy... He's not even that good of a ventriloquist act.
Yeah.
But no, that was the whole thing.
But
and the puppet would yell at him.
Right. But the point was is that it's not about creating the illusion. It's creating this character which is so big and such a presence that it doesn't matter. So people, like when my brother first came to see Otto with me, I was doing something in my hometown years ago. And I remember after the show, I'm standing there next to Otto afterwards. We're just bullshitting, you know, and the people are walking by, and my brother's like, hey, dude, I'm like, what's up, man? He goes, hey, man, that was really great, man. You were good. Listen, where's Otto? I want to say hi to him. I'm like, it's this guy right next to me. It's right here. You're talking to him.
Right.
Because people were so fixated on this character, George, that they never even noticed him.
How about the guy that pulled a knife out?
Oh yeah, well that's a classic story.
The guy pissed off so bad that the guy stabbed the fucking dummy. Like that's how much of like the guy stabbed the dummy, and of course George recovers and was like, "It's cocksucker thinks I'm real."
Yes, exactly.
It's a classic story from way back, you know, late '70s, early '80s, where Otto was performing and he was doing Puerto Rican jokes. And his Puerto Rican guy didn't like it, so instead of stabbing Otto as a kid, he just stabs the puppet.
Right, and he yelled Diablo.
I was about to ask what the famous word was.
I was at a show with him and Chips, and a chair got thrown at Otto. And Chips looks at me because I'm the big guy. I'm like, I'm not getting hit by a chair.
Here, real quick, in the chat room, one of the guests said Otto telling Big A that his hair looked like he combed it with a pack of firecrackers might be the funniest thing I've ever heard.
The hair.
All right. Listen, I think we should
let's take a break. We've got a couple of pals that came in.
Steven, thanks for calling in.
And just to say...
I miss you guys. I want to come on there, bro.
Yeah, you and Craig. Yeah. We're going to have you and Craig come up one night. I know you wanted
The Bald and Bootiful.
The Bald and Bootiful, a new new podcast you guys are doing,
and
right?
Just to say that...
It's on YouTube.
I thank Buddha.
I miss everybody. I know it sucks that Otto... Maybe it'll bring everybody back together again. I don't know what who the fuck knows.
It's absolutely going to. It's absolutely going to. And Buddha caught me this morning as I was blubbering because
I didn't know who to call.
Yeah. You got me a good one. But, man, it was good to talk to you, man.
And, all right, love you guys, man. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, love you too, pal. Right, and, let's stay in touch, man. We got a lot of stuff to do coming up.
All right.
And always remember, kill yourself.
sugar. All right, man. Talk to you soon.
Later.
All right, you know what? Let's take a quick break and we'll come back with Hals, Big A.
Big A and Joe Fernandez are here. Hals wants to call in. There's going to be a bunch of people.
Yeah, Teddy Daniels is going to call in. A bunch of people.
What it is, we're all just hanging
out.
It's
a free-for-all.
Telling stories, okay?
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's the Conti Kenny Show, all about Otto Peterson.
Mother, hello father, here I am at Camp Granada. We'll have some fun if it stops raining. I went hiking with Joe Spivey. He developed poison ivy. You remember Leonard Skinner? He got ptomaine poisoning last night after dinner. All the counselors hate the waiters. And the lake has alligators. And the head coach wants no sissies. So he reads to us from something called Ulysses. No, I don't want this should scare you. But my bunkmate has malaria. You remember Jeffrey Hardy? They're about to organize a searching party. Take me home, oh Madafada, take me, leave me out in the forest where I might get eaten by a bear. Take me home, I promise I will not make noise or mess the house with other boys. Oh, please don't make me stay, I've been here one whole day. Dearest father, darling mother, how's my precious little brother? Let me come home if you miss me. I would even let Aunt Bertha hug and kiss me. Wait a minute, it stopped hailing. Guys are swimming, guys are sailing. Playing baseball, gee, that's better. Mata Fata, kindly disregard this letter.
What did the black lesbian say to the white lesbian? You the man. Any faggots here? They're calling gay. I don't understand faggots. I mean, for a group of people that can't multiply, where the fuck are they all coming from? Why don't you stop? Why don't you stop cursing? We're only going to do this show. What, you want to do the clean show? What about TV? Get me on Sesame Street. I'm a fucking puppet. What's wrong with you? What, do I got to fuck Miss Piggy to do that show? Miss Piggy got a stinky blizzard. All right, look. I like PBS, yeah? You know, I fucked the girl that worked at PBS. After I fucked her, she sat up in bed and said, my orgasm was made possible by a grant from Mobil Oil. She was a hoo-ah, what a stank ant hoo-ah. All right, now. Here's a black guy sneezing. A poo-ah. All right, whoa.
Oh,
That's terrific.
Yeah, me and Jersey got arrested this afternoon smoking pot in the car. They gave us one phone call. We called fucking Pizza Hut. This fucking guy staring at me. Who the fuck is that guy? I don't know. A lot of creepy, a lot of good-looking girls in this audience now. I got a fucking log in my underwear. That's right, I had a wooden cock. I was circumcised with a pencil sharpener. At least I stay hard when I'm drunk.
Is anybody here from New York or Jersey?
Oh, you're from New York, I'll make you feel at home. Freeze, motherfucker! All right. Oh, that's a black guy. Guilty! All right, stop that. Guilty! Cut it out, George. I'm sorry. A lot of black guys like to date white bitches, right?
Hey, wait, are you against interracial dating?
Am I wearing a cowboy hat? Can I fucking finish?
You're not against interracial dating.
No, you can't blame them. You ever seen a black vagina? It looks like a fucking wallet. Okay. I expect the girl to open her legs and fucking credit cards and change and fall out. Miss, your Visa card, there's a quarter here. Pussa! Okay. I need some pussa! Okay. Isn't that romantic when a black guy says, I need some pussa! Here's a black guy sneezing. A pussa! Okay.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's the Conti Kenny Show. It's Otto's night tonight for us.
Good tune.
Right?
Good tune.
It's all about Otto tonight, man.
Yeah, and like I said, there's a lot of people that are going to try to call in.
Okay.
If you don't get in first, keep trying, because I want to hear from everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It's just about all of us pals, you know, we've got, Cousin Joe, we've got Champagne, Bev, me and you. Joe Fernandez is in the studio now. Big A is in the studio, and we're just gonna shoot the shit about him, man.
Yeah.
And I don't care if he doesn't like it,
because he deserves a week of this.
Right now
he's
probably like,
just shut up.
All right, already.
Like, he didn't like doing our show when he was alive. All right.
That was probably the first thing he said. Like, you fucking Conti's gonna do a stupid fucking show.
Yeah. You know what it was?
That was his first thought, probably, when he awoke, wherever he is. Ah, great.
That's what happened. He was having a nightmare. Yeah.
Fucking Fernandez is calling Conti now, telling him now it's all over.
This morning when I'm talking to Joe and we found out. And Joe's like, you know what, man, I don't even know if I want to do a show. And I'm like, yeah, me too. And then I was hanging out, had not, and I said, you know what, show must go on, we got to do it.
If you would have said the phrase, the show must go on, I would have hung up on you, number one.
Exactly.
All right? And second, I would have never, complied to that. I'd be like,
exactly.
No.
Yeah. So in my head, I'm going, show must go on. So I text Joe.
Were you listening to the Pink Floyd album? The Wall?
I go,
otherwise, you don't have an excuse.
Yeah, yeah. In my head, I'm going, show must go on. And then I'm like, I don't know if I want to do the show. I'll talk to you in the afternoon. And then finally, I was like, you know what? Let's do it. And just... whatchamacallit. And of course, he's up there and he's like, would you stop?
let's take a phone call. Conti and Kenny Show. Hello?
It's there.
Hello.
It's connected. Hey, what's up, buddy?
How you doing, bud?
Good, man. For anybody, this is our friend, comedian Ted Daniels. How you doing, pal?
Hey there, Teddy.
The bro.
Hey, Kenny.
Hey,
how's
Ted.
It going, buddy?
Good. We got a... Fernandez, Big A, Cousin Joe, hey, Champagne Ted. Mike, Beverly, where everybody's in the studio.
Oh, Otto would be so happy to learn that he got the B lineup for his tribute.
Wow, you think of us as B? That's great.
It's not bad.
I thought you said
exactly.
B. That's why I was laughing.
I moved your way up. I moved your way. If I was there, I would have been the D lineup. But
no argument here.
So yeah, it's what a day. I've had friends pass before, but I mean, I heard it this morning when I was getting ready to go to the office, and I basically was in my underwear, and I sat the entire day in my room in my underwear, just like not believing that I heard what I heard.
Well, Teddy, you know, me, you, Joe, and Fernandez, we all kind of started around, it's kind of around the same time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a big thing with our pal James was a lot of shows was with Otto and George, you know, and we had the honor to perform. So, you know, you've been right there since the beginning, too.
It was, I was saying to my wife that, you know, the thing about Otto was he was so good to everybody, and, you know, he didn't have a bad bone in his body, and he wanted, you could have just stunk on stage, but he would always say, well, you know, maybe we'll give him another chance. So he would bring you with him to a gig. He would let you do something. He always made you feel like you had some kind of worth. And he was, you know, he was a lot bigger than he thought he was as far as the comedy world.
Right.
And you really know that because there's so many great comedians that they always listed him as their favorite comedian.
Yeah, yeah. And every time we would do a show with him, whether it was the first or the 40th, didn't matter what we were doing, you know, I would get out of the bar and go and sit there and watch his set.
Dude, the one thing I always said, no matter what, I don't care who the comic was. I don't care if it's Chris Rock or George Lopez. It doesn't matter. Everybody knew Otto. Yeah. Everybody. Yeah. He was the most well-known, unknown comic, I think, in this country. Like, every comic knew him, but he wasn't that household name that he should have been. But it's, dude, everybody knew him.
Yeah.
It's like saying an Eddie Murphy. It was like everybody knew him who's ever just dabbled in comedy. And it was it was cool to see that.
My father loved him. My father came see me open for him at one of James's gigs in Woodbridge, talked to Otto like in the hallway for like an hour.
Right.
And then ever since then, whenever I see my dad, he's like, how's Otto doing? Like, he just loved that man after an hour of hanging out with him.
Well, you know what? It's amazing, too. Like, my wife, when it comes to comedy, you know, there's stuff that I've done in the past on stage, and she'll say to me afterwards, you know, I wouldn't do that. That's a little mean, or that's not really nice. And yet she loved everything he did, and when he smashed people for whatever reason, she thought that was the greatest thing in the world. And she goes, well, that's not him. That's not the real Otto. And it wasn't, but I mean, he just... You know, he could probably have, like, nuns loving his act, you know, just because he was such a nice guy, you know?
That was it, yeah.
Oh, it was just... But I'll tell you, my best times with Otto wasn't even with him on stage, although they were great. After shows or before shows or driving to shows, just talking about history and movies and anything but comedy. And it was... You know, those are things I'm really going
to
miss.
Yeah, and we were lucky enough to be, you know, to be good pals where you could lay on his couch with his little dog, Del, and just watch 17 hours of Little Rascals, you know, or Stooges. And you know what it'd be? What would happen is that he would get sick of, like, 14 episodes of Little Rascals, and he's like, all right, watch this. And then it would be a mad, 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 mad world.
Yeah.
And then there would be an intermission. You'd have a sausage sandwich.
Yeah, you smoke, and you get some of his split pea soup, and go back to watching more of his shit.
Yeah, yeah. And when you go over his house in the holidays, he was so proud of his cold cuts at room temperature. when his soprasat would sweat, you know what I mean? He loved it. You know, it would be the artichoke hearts and whatnot, and he was so proud of his spread the whole time.
Well, Kenny, Friday night when I worked with him, after the show, I was talking to him, and they pulled the 50-50. It was for an animal rescue group in Woodbridge. And they pulled the 50-50, and there were six of us in on the 50-50. And James puts his hand up, hey, we won. So we're like, all right. And as he's walking up to collect the money, I'm leaning into Otto, and I'm saying, I hope he doesn't give any money back. I hope he doesn't give any money back. And Otto goes like this. He won't. He hates animals.
Yeah, because he books them. That's why.
And I've never seen James like so upset. He goes, "I love animals," and I was going, "Oh, just shut up and take the money." That was just so fun. I just don't. You know, you guys do what you can do. I don't want to take up all your time. There's probably other people that want to, you know, that want to talk about him. But, you know, just we're gonna miss him more for everything but the performing.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
like
exactly
you said,
it.
Those summer days where we got together or we all went out to eat and.
Yeah,
you know,
hanging out on the back porch. But
there was the one night we went to Hibachi, and Teddy was there. I believe Teddy was there.
Yeah, I think I was. Yeah.
We go to a Hibachi, and there's about, I don't know, 7 or 8 of us. And it's Conti. I think Bev, you guys were there. I'm not sure. But the waiter comes up, and the first thing Otto says, he goes, "Do you know Jeff Dunham?" Out of nowhere. We're at a Hibachi place.
I actually had an idea today. I don't know what it would cost or what could be done about doing it. I mean,
Otto
worked for some great clubs. But I thought that James with the Comedy Shop, whenever he opened up a new place, Otto was usually the first act all the time.
Of course.
And I'm wondering if there was any logistically, even if we can do it, just get George, make a platform at, like, Blackstone, and have him sit in the corner on the platform on days of shows.
I don't know. Could be. I mean, I'm not sure what
they're
going to do.
I mean, it's a crazy idea, but, it's almost like he's there, you know?
We are going to do some benefit shows for some sort of memorial for Trish and the family. Yeah. We are absolutely 100% going to put all that stuff together.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're going to do his material so we get laughs.
Exactly.
I will.
It wouldn't be the first time somebody stole his material. Let's be honest.
Like we said, now John Conti can do his material as an homage.
Yeah. I will do his first 15 minutes and then get off because I'm back.
Yeah. That'd be twice as long as you normally do, so.
I know.
All right, well, Teddy, man.
Well, listen, guys, I will talk to you guys soon. Hang in there. Hello to everybody, and just take it easy.
All right, brother. Thanks,
yeah, thanks,
man.
Pal, for calling,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, Teddy.
Right,
bye, Jewel.
Take care. Bye-bye, right. Guys.
We have Holly on the phone. Hey, Holly. Hello?
A little delay.
There might be a smidge of a delay. Holly from the It's All About Me show.
Oh, is this Holly the Halls?
It's Halls, yeah.
Halls.
She called in on Skype, and I just had her on hold for a minute.
And then you fucked up.
She might, yeah, it's 7 minutes. She might have fell asleep.
I'm in my car. I'm driving home from work.
Oh, okay. How you doing, Holly?
I'm good. You guys, my heart hurt all day today thinking about you, and I'm so sad for you.
Yeah,
he's your buddy, you know. And I was just texting Big A, and I'm like, Big A, are you listening to Connie and Kenny? He's like, I just walked in the studio. I'm like, oh, okay. Hi, Big A.
We know you're driving. You don't want to hold the phone up. But you don't have the mouthpiece right to your 2 inches away from your mouth.
Are you driving a convertible?
Good God.
I'll pull over. I have built-in Bluetooth on this
thing. It's okay. It sounds fine.
I just stop screaming.
But I do understand what she's saying. She's like,
does
look.
Does it sound like shit?
No, you sound fine.
No, the audio vibrates off the car seats.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Does she have children? I have no idea.
No.
No.
No, she's barren. No.
All right.
No, she's purposely barren. I know. I listen to her show. All right. Christ. Shut up. But yeah, I know what she's saying. She's like, look, for as sad as it is for so many people, It's even worse because it's not just losing this icon or legend, whatever word people want to attach to him, it's a friend. And that, above all of it, is the worst part of
Definitely.
It.
Definitely.
And
she crapped out.
Hello?
Crash your car.
Holly?
Mal in the chat room is going to call, too.
Okay.
She put a thing in there.
Did you put the phone number in there?
Marianne is right on top of it. She threw it right in there.
She's the best.
Yeah, she's awesome.
In the chat room, Panda Paws said, Otto made great sausage and peppers. Buddha says, that Jew made the best meatballs. Otto is an Italian. Like, he was an Italian. Like, his spirit was a gimme.
No,
like everything about him. All, he loved the gangster movies.
He cooked like the Godfather.
Yes, with whatever, his stupid apron.
Whatever they cooked in a gangster movie, is that's,
sugar,
that was on his
wine,
yeah, that was on his menu. Tomatoes. Yeah. He's like, someday you'd be cooking for 20 guys. That's what I said. He just loved when that cold cuts would sweat. He would leave it out an hour before anyone would get there, you know?
And don't the put cheese too many would have those little sauce. You know? Too much onions. Don't put too many onions.
He
When we did Puppies in Sunshine, we did the first The Virus show that we're going to get, and we're going to post all of these.
Yeah.
And then we did about five other ones. But every time we would go there, we did it. At his dining room table, and it would be like a bowl of strawberries and like some carrot sticks and stuff. And like, you know?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, that's a nice spread.
Hey, Holly.
Oh, I came out of nowhere.
Hello?
Hey.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, now we got you now. Good. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Now you sound great.
I was blabbering on about nothing, and nobody was even hearing my gems.
I don't think that.
Yeah. So
maybe
now,
maybe I should just wait till I get home.
Speaking of gems,
I think so.
And
I would call the regular number because the Skype sounds like crap. I don't think it's you. I think it's just the Skype.
Okay.
Imagine all right. Monty's too nice to tell you that it's your fault.
Thanks. I'll call back later.
Thanks, Holly. And
bye.
Don't sound. Oh my God, she sounds suicidal.
Marianne in the chat. Marianne, we will be playing Puppies in Sunshine episodes back to back on Saturday from 2 to 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Sweet. Okay. Cool.
In memory of Otto.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I know. I like a little bit of Joe and Big A's thing. I mean, Big A, of course, he's taken such a liking to you, put you on the pig roast.
And, I know.
You know, always.
He's always.
Go ahead.
You're good. You're good. Yep.
He's always been good to me, and hanging out is always a blast. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, as everybody was saying. Just hanging out. It's a blast.
One of the best nights we ever had was at Otto's house. Me and Big A were slugging. We called them Honolulu ladies.
Right. Yeah.
It was grain alcohol
slugging.
Vodka.
Used the word slugging.
Yeah.
Like punching them in the face.
Fourth of July.
It was Norton was there. Right. Yes. Norton was there. Chips and all the guys. And I had a gallon of fresh squeezed tangerine juice.
Oh, that was the pot brownie night.
Yes, that was the space cakes.
Space cakes.
That's
yeah.
when he.
I have a great story from that night with Otto.
Do you really?
Oh, hilarious!
Even
I know
before this, I used to tell people this story. I'm like, it's the greatest thing a human has ever said to me.
Yeah,
and it came from Otto's mouth. It was right when I wasn't dating Kerry that long, maybe like a year or two, and
he lived what 20 minutes from the beach.
Yeah, we're by his house and. We're going to be there all day, all night for his party. So Kerry and I want to take a break from the party. She goes, let's go to the beach to look for sea glass. So I go, hey, Otto, Kerry and I are going to go take a walk to the beach, look for some sea glass, then we'll come back. And he goes, what are you going to go, finger her by sunset, then come back for snacks? and like me and Kerry just our face dropped, and I looked over at her, and she starts laughing, and I'm like, "This is the best girl. Like, I have to keep her." And she thought that was funny, but I was like, "The words just to come out perfect. Finger her by sunset, then come back for snacks. Like off the cuff."
If he would have
said, "Like,
food,
no one's ever said the funnier thing to me in my life."
Every word in that fucking statement was perfect. If he would have said, "Come back for food," it wouldn't have been as funny.
No,
like everything was perfect.
Oh.
And that was right in front of your girl.
Right in front of us. Yeah. That's like we were like saying, "Oh, great party. We're gonna go off." Oh my God. It's just every time I think of him, I think of that.
Yeah.
And it was just the funniest
Whenever you'd be at his house And his little dog Del would go up to one of the cats and start licking the cat's butthole.
Yapping.
Yeah. Del would go up and lick the cat's butthole. Yep. And the cat's tail would go up, and then Otto would try to stop him, and he'd just go, "Snack bar's closed. Snack bar's closed."
It was so tough to call. I had to call Joe because I thought Joe knew before I did. That phone call this morning was brutal. I'm sitting there in a Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru. I have my new Dunkin' Donuts app, and the lady's trying to scan it. My friend Billy keeps calling me, this comic from Pittsburgh. And I'm like, fucking
what
decline.
Do you need a Dunkin' Donuts app for?
So I can pay for my coffee. What? But it doesn't work when somebody calls you.
Okay. Over and over again?
Over and over again. And I never hear from this comic, Billy. He calls me, he's like, Otto died. I'm like, come on, man. It's like too early for this horse.
And
why do you know?
Exactly.
He didn't even barely liked you.
Yeah. Great timing. I'm trying to get a crueler, and you just told me my friend died. Thanks.
I've been feeling weird ever since. Well, I didn't believe it at first. Then I called you. Then you're like, what? Then you call me back. You're like, yeah. Then my day's been shot.
It's been done.
Like, actually, since. I heard on O&A, just before the break,
what happened was Jimmy had gotten either a phone call or a text from Florentine, went out of the room, then came back in, and you knew, and they knew. I had already known.
I was like dead air.
Yeah, there was this dead air, and they were like, "What's wrong?" And first you hear Anthony's uncomfortable laugh. Yeah. Like, like...
Because he wrote down what happened.
Right. He wrote down what happened.
You knew before hearing that?
And then, what?
You knew before hearing that on the air?
Yeah, I knew, yeah. I was trying to get in touch with Norton.
Right,
and then, and then you just heard Opie go, all right, let's take a break. Yeah, boom, and they just went to break, and then they came back. And he couldn't... It was the same thing when I called her this morning.
I
couldn't say the two words. I couldn't put the word Otto... And died in the same fucking sentence. And it just, it took me a little bit to just be able to say that out loud. Because once you say it, it becomes cemented in you.
Real.
Yeah, and it was just, but the one thing I want to tell, the first time my mother ever saw Otto and George. Now, my mother, now she's a 72-year-old, old guinea.
Yeah.
Came into this country when she was 27. I think almost everybody here has met my mother. Little Italian woman. She got the accent. She saw him at some place in Mine Hill, New Jersey. So after the show was over, I'm only doing it like maybe 4 or 5 years. So after the show was over, it was her friend and my sister and a few other people. So I said, Ma, what'd you think of the show? She goes, it was a nice. Everybody was a funny. That a guy with the Muppet was a little dirty.
The guy with the Muppet.
But I thought he was very funny. I'm like, she called it a Muppet. I'm like, that's fantastic.
The Muppet.
And my mother has seen Otto 3 or 4 times. So it's not like it was just a one-time thing.
It wasn't new to her.
Well, no, that was her first time.
Okay,
but what I'm saying is that this old, you know, my little mother has seen Otto and George 3 or 4 times. Right. So... You know what I mean? Like, just to see, like, wow, like, he even transcended to a psychopath like my mother. You know what I mean? But that was the beauty of him. For him to be able to...
There was one time, and there's, I mean, this is why we're doing this, because there's tons of little things. We're on the Belt Parkway, and we did a shoot. He did a shoot for way back, it was the O&A Christmas special, in Maxim magazine, remember that? It was
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Thanksgiving. Yeah.
It was in Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So we're hanging out and stuff, and we had a show in the brokerage that night, right? So I have a little container of it was like soda or something. It was like not a road soda, but it was like a Diet Coke in like a thermos, you know what I mean?
Right.
With like a little pop top. Uh-huh. And so he does the shoot, and Patrice O'Neill's like, why are you going to Coney Island? Because we're going to go to Coney Island first, and then we got to shoot up to Long Island.
Right.
Why are you going to Coney Island? He goes, because it's the fucking Atlantic Ocean. that was his thing. He just wanted to see the ocean, you know? And he had his Super 8 movie, and we took the Cyclone. So me and him rode next to each other trying to hold the Super 8 film because he wanted that old Super 8, you know, up the Cyclone and everything like that.
Tell me you have that footage.
Trish does, yeah.
Okay. Otto's got Super 8 footage of us at parties.
Oh, yeah.
He's always going around his parties.
That was his thing. He just loved that Super 8 stuff. No
this
sound.
Motherfucker one day at his house, we're sitting there hanging out. He's like, hey, you want to see some Super 8 stuff? I'm like, cool. puts it on the wall. It's this 70s porn with just Bush everywhere. Old Bush. And I'm like, why am I looking at porn on your fucking wall? It was like, that's
when
what
you just pull your phone out and bring up something.
Yeah. Bush phone. That was before Stupid had a phone. Do you know why Otto finally got a cell phone?
No.
Here is the story. We're doing a gig up in Bergen County, way up by like Tenafly, right? And it was a room that, and I had a bunch of friends of mine come in, and I kind of helped book it, right? And it was me, Otto, and Johnny O. So I booked the room. My friend was a waitress there, hooked us up. And so we're there getting everything set up, and we're waiting for Otto and Johnny O. So what happens is we're waiting and waiting, and they're not coming up. And neither one of these pieces of shit at the time had a phone, right? Neither one of them had cell phones. This is like 2008.
Yeah.
This isn't 1993. And so we get a phone call. I get a phone call on my cell, and it's Johnny O and Otto on a payphone. Looking for the place. So I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to see people.
What is it, the French Connection?
Dude,
I would love footage of those two with the payphone. Oh my God, I would pay a lot of money to see Otto and Johnny O with a payphone.
Yeah. So what happened was,
the
phone number that came up, something happened where I'm trying to give him direction to get there, but we get disconnected. So now I'm trying to call back, but it took me like 5 minutes to call them back. So in the interim, they were like, well, you know what? For some reason, there was a miscommunication, and they drove around a little bit longer to try to find the place. And they just said, what are you going to do? And they left. And just went. There's nothing he could do. Because then he's trying to call. Oh. They kept trying to call me, but it wasn't going through. So they just said, well, we can't find the place. I don't know if it was they tried like another payphone, and they couldn't find another payphone. So that was the catalyst for actually both of them, Johnny O and Otto, to get a cell phone because they couldn't find the gig. They couldn't find a restaurant in Tenafly, New Jersey, on Madison fucking Avenue.
I thought this was going in the direction of, oh, they got a phone so they can get GPS to use navigation. Yeah. No, just to let you know without stopping to pay phone.
They couldn't find the place.
Yeah. I remember when Otto, when the first time I went to his house, he took him and Trish were and took me in a room to show me all these old photos of him as a kid.
Yeah, they put a bunch in the chat room.
I felt so like special to get to see that stuff, yeah, especially being like a new comedian. Like I'm in Otto's house.
Yeah,
this was crazy. He was like a celebrity to me, and to see all these pictures of him as a young kid, I was just like, someone's got to do a documentary on this guy because it's so many years of
doing
it. His story is like so rich. It's not just like some dude who picked it up at like an adult or something. It's like child.
Yeah. You know? To be honest, you're a filmmaker. I think we should put something together, or someone should. You know, to go back to after the cyclone, I'm on the Bell Parkway and I had that soda, and my thermos just goes boop, like it pops up because I'm hitting the bumps.
Right.
And no words are said. There's no music on. The windows are down, so you can't hear the music. The thing just goes, right? And he just looks at me and goes, haunted thermos.
Haunted thermos. Right, we're trying
haunted thermos.
All right, we're going to try it again. Hello, Holly.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
That's
better.
Beautiful. Great. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm at home in my studio now.
We're glad you're home.
Oh, so, anyways, where was I?
You were just saying how sad you felt today thinking about like friends of his, Big A, and stuff like that.
Guys, yeah, because I'm friends with you guys and Big A. I was sad for him. I know how close he was, and I just my whole memory of him is from the benefit,
the Narc Zito benefit. Yeah, exactly.
When we first started planning this, me and Bob Levy, Will's only request was, I don't care what comics you guys get to perform, but we have to have Otto and George because he's my favorite. And, you know, he was dying of brain cancer. He still is dying of brain cancer. I don't know what he's doing now. He's all right for now. But that was his request. And so at the benefit, I was running around like crazy. I'm trying to talk to everybody. I was looking for a guy with a puppet. I didn't see any guys with any puppets. There was this man standing looking at all the prizes that we were raffling off and stuff, and I went up to him like, hi, can I help you? You know, did you want to buy a raffle ticket? And he just looked at me and said, no. And then walked away. I was like, oh, shit. No, it was him. I didn't recognize him because of the, you know, I hear him on Opie and Anthony all the time. And he looks nothing like his Twitter picture. That's for sure.
Yeah, he's not the most recognizable guy because he's always been that way. His personality is very, you know, I kind of blend in. He's very much a blend in guy. And I think the best part, the most, the funniest part of that night was, now Otto is up there headlining, and the guy Will, who has brain cancer, is in the front row with his family, his wife, and Otto's up there, and the show of course took a while, and Otto had to go last, and he wanted to get out of there, you know, but he was still doing his thing. And at one point he's like, dude, how long is this gonna take? He goes, why don't you just fucking die already so I can get the fuck out of here? And it was so hilarious and uncomfortable.
He said that to the
he
brain.
He said that to Will, Narc Zito. And he's dying laughing. No pun intended. His wife like, doesn't, like, oh holy God, shit. Yeah. His, like, in-laws are in shock.
Oh my God. They're very religious. I never even expected this. You know, because I said to Will, I'm like, I know your wife is coming with you and everything. I said, are you sure that she's prepared for this? And he's like, yeah, I warned her. I'm like, are you 100% sure that she's prepared for this? I don't know if they wanted to cry and run out of there or what. I mean, that was just so funny. And then afterwards, you guys were like in such a hurry to get out of there. You forgot your fucking credit card, and Hammy had to bring it home to you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
You had to drive George, Otto, and George, and you had to drive George. Fuck Otto.
Well, I did have to drive both of them, literally. So,
and I go back inside, and there's this giant friggin' box of Otto and George T-shirts, and I'm like, shit, what the hell am I going to do with this? I'm flying back to Seattle the next day. What am I going to do with this giant box of T-shirts? And Death Proof, one of the other guys that was helping with the benefit, said, no, he said we could keep them. And I'm like, are you 100% sure he said we could keep them? He's like, yeah, we could keep them.
Yeah,
he just started taking them.
Yep, he just said he brought them there. I think his idea was to maybe sell a couple and put some out for people to buy. And then when he was there, he was like, you know what, just leave the T-shirts. Just let them have them. Fucking tell them to sell them. Give them to him. Let's get out of here. You know, but that's the epitome of Otto.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Give him the shirts. I want to get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? It's like the yin and yang of him, where in the middle of him going, I don't give a fuck. I just want to get out of here. He's doing something.
Yeah, it's being incredibly sweet while being
so sweet and so giving at the same time.
That's Big A. I was carrying around the stupid box with them all night afterwards. I was fucking this box of T-shirts around. I'm like, doesn't anybody want to fucking T-shirt?
Yeah, it's
but everybody that wanted one got one, but I still have like five.
Oh, send me one, Hall.
Is it the one with
Joe
from
the Cousin Joe show? Send me one.
Is it the
plug?
Is it the shirt with him? Is him and George sick in bed?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one from his benefit when Otto got sick last year, and it's that Otto with a thermostat and George telling him to get over it, faggot or pansy or whatever it was. Those were the shirts. So. Yeah.
So I still have a couple of them. I think they're all mediums, though. I'm like, thanks for giving me all the mediums. Like, anybody can wear a fucking medium.
Yeah, exactly. So he obviously knew the Ron and Fez and Opie and Anthony
audience well.
Yeah, by having a bunch of mediums.
Yeah.
We only have shirts for women, apparently, so.
That's also how we.
Those are baby doll shirts for the O&A women.
It's also how we judge his friends. Just a bunch of mediums.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Jesus. That's all I had. So,
well, thank you, Holly.
Bye, Holly.
My thoughts are with you guys.
Bye, Holly.
Thanks, Holly. We appreciate it.
Hey, see you later.
Bye.
Bye, bye.
And Holly also does a show on More Like Radio called the "It's All About Me" show on Saturdays. So, and her and Rorschach, very cool people. So, all right.
Mal in the chat room. She was going
to
call in.
Call
her. She wanted to try, but she says she's going to be a blubbering, crying lady.
So what? So will we? Believe me.
Yeah. Who's that?
I got a box.
Ma, she said, "Isn't it's a quote? It's isn't that cute?" I'd like to grab him by the ankles and smash his skull
into the off porcelain
a fucking porcelain sink. Otto to some mom and her 7-year-old who were distracting his audience.
One of my favorite things about Otto, you see him kill so many times, but sometimes you do those gigs with him where it's a tough gig. And one of my favorite things was like say he lays a joke and it gets like a zero, like how George just go, ah. Like he let a big sigh, like, ah. That used to just crack me up. I'd be in the back belly laughing.
He stole that from me, by the way.
Did he?
No, I'm just kidding.
were you there that night? It was at the comedy.
You guys always
shop.
Bust my balls because I'm always like, eh.
That's how Joe centers himself.
Yes, that's me centering myself. Getting into Zen.
But we got a
phone call.
Oh, okay.
Conti Kenny Show. Hello?
Hey, it's Lady Trucker, guys.
Hi, Lady Trucker. How are you?
Hey. LT. LT's here.
Yeah. I don't know. I only know Alan George from the radio and, mm-hmm. and the videos that he's done, but I'm the one missing George.
You were what?
I'm missing George.
Well, I think we...
so that's a good joke.
We'll miss George, too, in wooden spirit, I guess. I'm not sure. We're not even sure what's going to happen with George, actually. What's going
to
happen with the puppet.
I wanted to meet him live and see if I could come up with any little George Dick lines that Otto'd never heard before.
Oh, that would have been real easy. I mean, the first one you would have blurted out, he'd be like, holy shit, a wooden cock joke. Yeah. It's my first one in 40 years on stage from an audience member. He would have definitely heard a few of them.
Can you
write
these down and email them to me? I can't wait to hear them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure you heard, George has hung like a wood splinter.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
George has hung like a toothpick.
Real to a good spark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
George has hung like a matchstick.
Mm-hmm.
A wooden matchstick would be nice, but mm-hmm. One of the paper ones would be
Conti
more. Conti
forgot where the hang-up button is on his computer.
No, I'm giving Lady Trucker her due.
All right, already.
Yeah, I could. Oh, that's right. I forgot. I forgot we got about 8,000 Otto and George clips.
Jesus Christ! I'm waiting for her to bring up a. Waiting for her to bring a pencil sharpener joke.
All right, already.
I need some of those for my phone. I need some.
All right, already.
Pussy.
Exactly.
All right.
All right, guys.
Well,
thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in, Lady Trucker.
You're welcome.
I remember at the block fair hit one time.
Gary, the owner.
No, actually.
You would be wonderful at charades, Big A. You know that, right?
No, actually,
you would be amazing at charades.
No, actually,
yeah, with a time limit, too. That'd be fun.
No, actually, you were there. It was at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
A lady came out, and she was, like, offended with every joke. And I think you and Otto were talking with her.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that.
It was like she was offended with every joke. With the age. I have a person as
Conti,
age.
Where's the hang-up button? Oh, he's here. Never mind.
You know what? I do remember that. And you know what? And he, as brutal as Otto could be, he never wanted to purposely hurt somebody's feelings, like if somebody was personally hurt, not if somebody's just some jack off that's like, I find you offensive,
like some loudmouth of the crowd or what.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, this woman was like, she was offended by like almost everything. My set,
but the husband loved everything.
Well, of course, because he was a guy.
Yes,
you know, and I think at one point we were just like, well, listen, you know, take care, as Otto would say. And I mean, at some point, it's like, why are you, like, you've already seen a show, right? You didn't like it. So, either it's one of two things. Either get your money back or go home.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to do? Like, are you think your five-minute complaint to Otto Peterson, Otto and George, is going to change his act?
Yeah.
Like, what are you trying to get out of it?
Or have the crowd turn on him and go, yeah, you're right. You're right.
But this was after the
Why
show.
Why did we laugh?
Yeah.
But this was after the show, which at least they waited till after the show. But, like, I don't understand what you're... Are you trying to change Otto and George, like, or any comic.
Was
so
she drunk or just a lunatic?
Probably both.
Or she just wanted to get a point out, you know?
Like, yeah, it's you like, know, it's a point well taken.
I like your point out, work the open mics and get on stage.
Point well taken, point. Overruled. Two Utes, fuck off. Two Utes. Yeah, it's just, or what do you think? You want to take another?
Yeah, let's take a quick break, sure.
All right, I got another Alan Sherman song. Might
perfect.
As well.
This is, Alan
Otto
Sherman.
Loved Alan Sherman.
One of his
I'm
favorites.
Not familiar.
You know, Hello Mother, Hello Father.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
That guy has like 17 albums.
Oh, all right.
Of like funny, like those kind of funny songs. Absolutely loved them.
Is this like 60s, or I have no idea.
Yeah, about in the 60s, yeah.
Okay.
And put it this way. Me, Otto, and his girlfriend Trish went and saw Weird Al Yankovic.
I love Weird Al in Asbury Park.
Yeah, yeah. So he loves all that kind of quirky, like, you know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that quirky
parody
comedy.
Type shit.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, right. So Alan's, you know, it's Johnny Cash and the Beatles and the Stones and Alan Sherman.
Alan Sherman. Yeah. No.
All right. And Alan Sherman was a, you know, kind of Jewish comedy.
It was like the Weird Al Yankovic of the old Jewish
of that time period.
Yeah, like the 50s, the old
Borscht Belt or, you know, the Catskills, what they would do in the 60s.
Right.
Like the comedy act in like Dirty Dancing was Alan Sherman.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But he loved it.
All right, let's take a break. Carucci's going to be here in a few minutes.
Carucci.
He just texted me, so we'll be right back. It's a special Conti and Kenny show. Featuring our pal, the late, great Otto Peterson.
Otto Peterson.
So... Overweight people, just like me, must have some place where folks don't count every calorie. Somewhere over the rainbow, way up tall, and where they've never heard of cholesterol, where folks can eat just what they want and still be slim and trim and gaunt, you'll find me. Where every little thing I taste won't wind up showing on my waist, or worse, behind me. Somewhere overindulging is divine. If their waistlines aren't bulging, why then, oh, why does I?
Of the fine comedy teams like Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy, Sharpton and Maddox, we proudly present. Thank you. It's really great to be here tonight. My name's Otto Peterson. This is my good friend George Dudley. How you doing, George? Nervous?
Hey, I gotta work with your hand in my ass. I'm fucking uncomfortable here. I gotta take a shit and everything.
Sorry.
I had a ride here in the trunk of the car. It sucked. It was boring. I turtle waxed my dick. I was so fucking bored in there. Johnson's turtle wax, 3 coats. I want to see the water jumping off of it. That's right, I got a wooden cock. I was circumcised with a pencil sharpener. At least I stay hard when I'm drunk. laugh it up, you fucking hard-ons? George, please, watch it. There are ladies here.
There's ladies here? Blowjobs! Protein Slurpees. Check it out. Who saw this movie? E.T. Goes Down. My girlfriend gave me skull last night. She did a good job. When she was done, my cock looked like a totem pole and her face looked like a glazed donut. Protein Slurpees.
All right. George, can we do one of our old routines?
Eh, you're hot on. Okay. Right now, we're going to do some classic ventriloquism. Otto here is going to drink a glass of water and blow me while I sing Lady of Spain. Blowjobs! Hey, how many of you masturbate? Raise your good hand. I ain't ashamed to admit it. I beat my wood. There's nothing wrong with jerking off. Jesus Christ. I tried phone sex today.
How'd that work out?
Terrible. My dick got caught in a nine.
Oh, all right.
That party line is a bunch of shit. They show these beautiful girls. Everybody calls it up. 20,000 guys are jerking off to one fat bitch in Jersey. I'm horny.
All right.
Let's go to Macy's and fuck some mannequins.
No way.
You ever fuck a mannequin? They're nice and tight. I fuck the mannequins at Macy's, but I buy in Alexander's. I'm going to Macy's.
All right.
I'm gonna fuck the whole store.
All right, take it easy.
I'm gonna fuck the first and second floor. You can nail the third floor.
Okay.
That's lawnmowers,
you dopey bastard.
Look at this shit. They gave me my own microphone. Stupid cocksuckers think I'm real.
You ever see that Twilight Zone episode?
Yeah, I saw that shit.
That's my favorite show.
Yeah, I wonder why. I met Rod Serling once. He had a huge cock with eyebrows on it.
All right.
So you like porno movies? I made one. It's a fuck film with all puppets. It's called Caligula, Fran, and Ollie. I fucked Miss Piggy in this movie. I porked her. Bacon shot out of the rears. I porked that bitch.
All right. Don't you think this is a nice order?
Your faces at firing squads. Folks, I drive a cab for a living here in New York. Any of you cheap bastards take cabs? See if you recognize me. Hey, you want to get my feet back in the chair? I'm fucking swinging here.
I'm sorry.
Like a marionette.
All right.
Make my ass look real.
Okay.
Get a fucking illusion going here.
All right. Hey, George, how's your girlfriend Gina doing?
Oh, that slut.
What do you call her that for?
This girl's a slut. One time she spread her legs and a Greyhound bus came out. The bus driver had a clothespin in his nose and the passengers wanted their money back. I exaggerate to clarify. You know, I went to pick her up one time and her father was there. What a fucking idiot.
What happened?
The guy says to me, what are your intentions with my daughter? I said, well, sir, I'd like to get the ball rolling by deveining your cock with a clam knife. Then I'm gonna take your daughter with my eight friends and we're all gonna get blowjobs from her. Protein Slurpees all around.
All right.
What are my intentions? I'm gonna try to fuck her.
All right.
It's called, How Can I Tell You I Love You When I Can Hardly Breathe Down Here?
Thank you very much. We're Otto and George.
Yeah, laugh and the world laughs with you. Fart and you sleep alone.
Thank you. Otto and George. That's right. A boy and his log.
A cock.
Suck my cock.
All right, we're back. J. Johnny Cash for my good pal, Otto Peterson. It's the Conti Kenny Show. And we got some more people coming in. Rich Carucci, our pal.
What's up?
How you doing, buddy?
How can you be doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Brutal.
Glad you took a few minutes. Somebody you just tried to call when we were on break in a 304 area code. If you want to try to call back in a couple minutes or whatever, no problem. We're taking calls from anybody. If you want to call in, the phone number is 240-442-2635. That's 240-442-2635.
And what does that spell, Conti?
That's 240 high CNK.
I love it.
Yeah, it's awful, but it's Frank gave us that number, and we'll take it. Did. Why not?
Old Fester motherfucker.
It's a regular riot.
It used to say 1-800-CHINK, but since that Malaysian airline crashed, we had to change the...
Yeah, Kenny will be back in a couple minutes. I don't know where he's at, smoking or something. But, yeah, and if you want to join any of the chat rooms, it's moreliferadio.com/live and contikenny.com/listen now. The folks over at MLR, More Like Radio, were very cool, and they said we could go till 10 o'clock tonight.
So you get your original time slot back. How generous.
We get to stay up late tonight, Dad.
By the way, it's going, I'm going to say, you know, because we only have 20 minutes, I assume we're going to stay longer, so... if they don't mind, we're going to take the initiative of staying till 10 o'clock. So I want to thank Marianne and Kitty for their for letting us do it. They do their show.
Less than Love.
Well, it's not Less Than Love anymore.
They changed the name. That's right.
Yeah, they changed it again.
I know. They changed it like two or three times.
Love and Lust?
No. It was Back Talk Radio.
Right.
But I think it's still Back Talk Radio. Or are they going to Daytime Divas?
I don't know.
I'm confused.
It's the Mariana Kitty Show.
Yeah, it's on...
Monday nights, whenever Conti and Kenny's great show is done, that's when you go on, and that's what it's called. I love Mariana.
I love Mariana Kitty, man.
She's the best.
Yeah.
They're both great.
So, Carucci, you're another one. You've known Otto for, I don't know, longer than I have. I mean, 10, 12, 13 years?
About 13 years, yeah.
How did you first meet him?
Some horrible fucking gig.
I think we all have that same exact... thing. It's like, some shitty gig.
He'll never have to play again, but we will.
let's take the phone call here. Hello, Conti and Kenny Show. Conti and Kenny Show.
Hey, Joe Conti, how you doing?
Hey, man, how are you?
All right. Hey, this is my name's JD. I was the one that sent you that text there, Chambersburg. Kenny, how you doing?
Oh, man, how are you, bro?
All right.
Have you been listening to the show so far?
No, I'm just at my lunch right now, so I have no idea what's going on with the show. If you got something
you picked a good show to call
in. This is the only station I get.
This is weird. This is weird.
Why don't you hang up and try again next time?
And I'm trapped in a basement.
No, you have to understand. I had told him this was a listener who
Twister's coming.
fucking Carucci.
F5.
Basically, this is a listener who sent me a message last week on Twitter about a show. I was going to be out in Pennsylvania, and in the conversation, I find out that he's been listening to our show since 2006, which I found like
that's
amazing.
The guy. One of his own money.
Exactly.
But hey, Joe, is that Carucci right there?
That's Carucci. God. Yeah, they all know. He knows you, right, Carucci?
Hey.
Oh, God. No, I don't know you, but, I mean, Kenny said last week he'd like to have some callers call in and talk about maybe something of the show where they thought was the best.
Something might have happened since last week.
He's
probably called back next week.
The favorite story that you had when you had a listener on there, had somebody on there, like, was Carucci.
Yeah,
I remember the show was November 2nd of 2009. And he told the Somalian pirate story.
Wow.
I listen to that about every 6 months when I'm feeling down and I need a little bump.
This is crazy. All right, JB, I got to tell you. this is very weird because you haven't, you know, you only listen in podcasts. You don't listen live. So you're at work right now and you decided to call in at your break. Here's the deal. We're doing a very different show tonight because our good friend Otto Peterson from Otto and George passed away this morning.
Oh, you are shitting me.
No, I'm not. Yeah. And you probably know Otto from listening to the show or listening to Opie and Anthony or Ron and Fez.
He was just on a couple weeks ago with you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome he was there 2 weeks, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago. And so this whole show, since we've started, it's all been about Otto. People calling in, telling their Otto stories. A total... homage to Otto, and you had no idea, and it actually was for a very big laugh from everybody because you had no clue, and you're like, "Hey, I remember you guys from the fucking Armageddon or whatever it was," and you had no idea, which I
from
found
a time machine.
It's fucking
great, Scott.
You better send this guy a T-shirt, a CD, something. Man. He's like your biggest fan.
Who's this guy?
I got Joe's CD. I got Unhappiness.
Sorry.
Happiness.
And you're still calling in?
You know, it's funny. I think as a faux pas, he actually he accidentally said Unhappiness. Did you hear him? He said Unhappiness.
Joe Conti, Happiness.
No. Hey, I just wanted to, I'll let you guys get going. I'll call back another week.
Absolutely.
That's
awesome. Absolutely.
Sorry to hear that about Otto.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much. But anytime, dude, anytime you want to call in, bro.
Yeah, it's not like the lines are busy.
Hey, I appreciate it, but if you want, that might be something you might want to put on one of your shorts, that a story with Carucci being the pirate, because I still laugh tears come down my eyes listening to it.
You know what? I got to find
that.
I think I have to now. We're being forced
to. I
want to
hear
it
now.
Yeah, I know.
I want to hear it, too.
That better be this week's shorts. I'm going to listen to that.
All right, thanks,
it's
bro.
It's great. It's the last half hour on November 2nd, 2009.
I'm checking up on
I didn't realize we had Rain Man as a fucking...
Hey, well, I'll let you guys go. Sorry to hear about Otto, and sorry to interrupt you. And I'll give you a call another time.
You got it, bro. Thank you. Anytime, except for this week.
Thank you.
You got it, bro.
Bye-bye.
That's an awesome fan right there.
That's hilarious,
dude. That's a great guy.
It makes this almost like a real radio show.
Almost a real radio show.
When I come in, I always picture the little rascals.
Now this guy's going to die, and you're going to have a memorial show for him.
Remember last week I told you about the guy who's been listening to our show since 2006?
Oh, yeah,
and he said he's going to call in during a break. He doesn't listen to the show live, so he called in like, "Hey, what's up? It's JB. Wanted to tell you guys a cool story." No,
he's a ham radio operator in a bunker in North Dakota.
We're like, today's not a really good day to, and he had no idea, so.
No kidding.
But, dude, he's like, "Hey, Carucci's there."
Yeah,
like,
the last half hour.
I'm trying to forget that fucking story.
November 2009. That's great.
Holy shit.
The Ecstasy Halloween Pirate. Escapades.
Yeah, but you were saying you met Otto at a real shitty ass gig.
Yeah. I didn't even know he knew who I was. I just remember the Murderous Row might have been there too.
With Casey and all that. Holy shit!
Shit got out of hand and ugly quick.
Really?
Oof! It was a bad scene. I just remember him going to me, "Hey, I apologize about what happened just now." And I go, "This dude even knows who I am." I'm like, "Who cares?" My friends will come to another show. Things got really out of hand. I think the show ended and everyone got thrown out of the place. I just wanted to go up and do my 5 minutes. Like, wait, please. I got a good dick joke. Yeah, no. Then I started working with him more and more. And, always was a good dude, man. Really. Then I was, going on the road with him. And
you get to be just... You get to see the guy,
Oh, yeah. No, we hung. You guys know we're all friends. I mean, we're just... Like it's not only business.
Like Teddy said, you don't even talk about comedy with him. You talk about movies.
Movies.
And food.
And Caddyshack. Wayne.
There's a certain pattern. It goes, you talk about different things, and it could be movie, food, history, depending on whoever it is. Then it always trails down to comedy, and then it finishes up with Johnny O. It always ends up with Johnny O, a story about Johnny O being miserable.
Carooch, Johnny O here. Carooch, Johnny O.
Otto loved alcohol. He loved to...
Johnny O.
He would just shut up. Johnny O was his favorite. He was definitely his favorite person on the planet. And that's why he abused Johnny more than anybody. Yeah. But he loved him. Yeah. And it always, no matter what, 20 minutes into a conversation, we could be talking about whatever, and then it gets a little bit into comedy, and I go, how do we always end up talking about Johnny O? We always would, because that guy, there's only one person that makes me laugh more than Otto, and that's Johnny
Otto. He's
incredible. And it's just...
I did a gig with him last week in the middle of nowhere, New York State.
Who, Johnny or Otto?
Yeah, Johnny O.
Yeah.
Well, one of the best nights I've ever had hanging out. It was... we were down in the Tropicana, and it was me, Joe, Johnny O, Otto, at the Tropicana, going to see Don Rickles.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. What a crew for that show.
Yeah, there was a couple
James.
Other ones. And James
I
was
thought
there.
James was there. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. We go to Carmine's. We eat like pigs.
It's
we
where the color. It's where Otto created the Galawad. It's where he created that joke. Because that's where he first
comes out
said
with
it.
This big, you know,
huge bowl
of gada, you know, and the whole thing. And it was great because the seats that we got were two rows from the top all the way over to the right of the theater.
Yeah, that's like where I sat when I saw Rickles.
And we were going to see Rickles, and we're sitting there, and there's probably 5, 6, 7 of us, and everything Rickles is saying is we're dying, and we're hitting each other, and it was the greatest point where Rickles stops and goes, "See? You silver hairs suck. The real people that love me are up there."
And he kind of pointed into our area. Yeah, he kind of pointed. But that was...
Yeah,
I
won about $1,000.
Yeah, that was a crazy night. Because that was the night where we stayed there till the next morning.
Yeah.
So we're leaving, right? And we're in the parking lot. We're all either hammered or exhausted. And we're in the underground parking lot. And Johnny O... His back is all fucked up because when you don't sleep in your own bed. So he's leaned over. He's like 15.
He's got a bad back anyway.
Yeah, he's like 15 feet in front of us.
I think it's the monkey.
And we're not saying a word. You can hear our feet like just hitting the ground as we're walking. And it's
in
the parking deck. Johnny O, then me, Otto, Kenny, and James. And it's real quiet. And then all of a sudden, a horn from like the other end of it goes... And Johnny O, in just a nanosecond, is like, "Sorry, I had the coleslaw." And it was just like, dude, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. We were up till 5. He's half in the bag and half exhausted with a backache. And he still had that moment to go, "Sorry, I had the coleslaw." And us, and we, to this day, we would always.
We always talk about that night.
He wasn't even allowed to drive his own car, wasn't it? They threw him in the back or something.
There's been a few of those nights, yeah.
It was just, what a great night that was to see Rickles, to watch him with our pals, and to know. And at the time, I mean, this was 2000. I would guess it was 2007 or 2008.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
So,
yeah.
But he at the time, he was like 82, 83. And you're like, "Wow, this is going to be the last time."
Yeah.
He's still.
Yeah, I saw him a couple of years ago in Englewood.
Still go,
He needs somebody to help him pick up the microphone off the ground.
Yeah, exactly. When he drops the mic.
Well, you know what's great? When you get to be old, you get away with anything. You can still use the Puerto Rican, the black, you know, what do you call
it? Chinese.
Negro, you know, use those kind of words.
It was just great because, you know, after that, there was Otto would always say there was, Johnny Carson died. And Larry King has Rickles, I think Joan Rivers, Carl Reiner, all on the panel.
2,000 years of fucking entertainment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're telling a story, and Otto loved it because we were sitting there watching it. And Larry King starts telling a story, and he's like, "When I was a kid, Johnny Carson was an MC at this thing," and Rickle stops him and goes, "Your story sucks." So since that, Otto, every time something like someone would go trail on, Otto would just go, "Your story sucks."
You know who I never liked, but I like now because they're insane. Jerry Lewis, did you hear when he did the interview last week?
No, I didn't hear about that.
All the people paid to go see him, and he just fucking tore everybody apart, wouldn't shake their hand, insulted everybody.
What was he doing, like a Q&A thing?
Yeah, Q&A, and let me take your picture. No, get away from me. I could catch something. You look like diseased. Like, he just fucking ripped everybody apart.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I really want to hate this guy, but he's hilarious now because he just doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Otto would always say when anyone would always go, "Make a long story short," he would go, "Little late for that." Every single
little
time.
I used to just love what Johnny.
Yeah, whenever you're so long story short, a little late for that.
When O'Rourke would get bombed, and he's loud and shut up, and Donald, shut up!
Liar!
Yeah.
Liar.
Johnny O's, his Johnny O is.
That was Johnny O in
certain
Atlantic
things
City
that he
too.
Would scream Liar. For no reason. But, Otto loved. The thing he would say was like Johnny O would be a guy where he would find gold nuggets under his pillow. And he would be pissed off that he didn't have a good night's sleep, you know? And he would just bust Johnny's balls, but he loved Johnny so much.
Otto had a great line. Johnny O goes, I just wanted to smoke a little weed just to feel that ping in the back of my head. And Otto looks at him and goes, what are you, a fucking Kennedy?
Conti, was Otto in the car that time? You guys were going to AC and Johnny was screaming about fuck America. And
oh,
yeah, no, he was in front seat. Otto was in front.
That was the,
Did
that
he
was
have
the,
audio of that? I have to put you on the spot.
James had audio. Johnny O got so hammered on the in
I heard
Atlantic
the audio
City.
Was hilarious.
So I had to drive back, right? So I drove Johnny O's car.
Otto was in the front.
Otto's in the front. You, I'm James, and Johnny O were in the back. And the whole time, Johnny O is screaming. First of all, he's screaming, liar, fuck America.
Liar!
Yeah, he's screaming, liar, fuck America. And he kept on saying, why is Conti driving my car? And we're going, Johnny O, you're a little bit hammered. We're driving home.
You have
I'm
three
straight.
DWIs.
Okay. Where the fuck are we going? We're going to Otto's house, back home. Why are you driving my car? He kept asking the same questions. And then in between that, screaming, liar, fuck America. He says fuck America for no reason. He has no
That's
ill will.
So hilarious.
He's a patriot. He loves our country.
Of course.
Did he do any hair boys? Hair boy Pip. Okay.
He came to a roast we were at. I forgot who we were roasting, and he went up and did his act.
Okay. There was something. We were coming home from the brokerage one day. I'll never forget this. Me, Otto, and Johnny O. Johnny O's lit up in the back. And to this day, I do not remember what Johnny O said. But he said something that was so funny. I'd never seen Otto do this before. Otto was smashing the dashboard with his hand, hitting it very hard. We were laughing so hard, and Johnny O said this. I want you two both to jump up and down and pray to the God of fuck America. To this day, me and Otto would once in a while just go, I want you two to jump up and down and pray to the God of fuck America. And he doesn't even remember saying
it. There was one line that Otto loved. We went to the when ONA had the Halloween party years ago. Remember when they had the Halloween party and Flavor Flav?
Oh God, yeah,
like,
I was
took
there
over
for
the
that.
Whole,
yeah.
Took over the whole thing. We were all there. We were all hanging out. So we get in the car. And I always enjoyed when I made Otto laugh. Always, because I was like, "That's a good one." That's a good one. And somebody said something, and they're like, "What'd you think of it?" And I go, "Yeah, it's the place smelled like gunpowder and chicken." And Otto fucking lost his shit. He's like, "Gunpowder and chicken."
He used to always talk about all the people he met, too. He used to have this great one where he'd talk about everyone liked to meet John Wayne in the bathroom. And he shows everyone at the urinal, hey, you're John Wayne, as they turn and piss on him. But he met everybody in the fucking business, you know.
Yeah.
Really
absolutely, just, yeah. Well, there's stories, you know, him and John Belushi is in the back of a cab, and in the front of the cab, it's one of those old, remember the show Taxi?
Right.
One of those old yellow cabs. And it's a cab driver, Otto with the puppet, and a hooker, and John Belushi's in the back of the car slugging wild turkey. And they had just done a show somewhere, and John Belushi's like, we're going to the Improv or whatever, going to the comedy club. So then they all go downstairs, and it's like 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. And Belushi goes downstairs. Otto's just a kid at the time. Belushi goes downstairs and just puts a pile of coke out on the table. And all of the comics, Richard Belzer, you know, all the guys would come down and do a little snort and say hello to Belushi. You know what I mean? Yeah. And Otto's just sitting there going, holy shit, what am I doing in a cab with, you know, with Belushi?
That's a great thing. I'm going to miss, man, like hanging out with him at Johnny O's. Yeah. He had so many great stories about the old days and absolutely all the people he met along the way. He had a fucking...
We have a clip for people that are listening, but one of my favorite stories of all time is he's performing in Washington Square Park. And he's probably like, I don't know, it's probably like 1978 or something like that. Street performing and whatnot. Does his act and the whole thing. There's people gathered around him. And some guy comes up and fucking elbows him and goes, give a dollar in a British accent. Give a dollar to the puppet. Here's 50 cents for you because you didn't do shit. Right? So I go, well, who hit you? He goes, it was John Lennon.
Yeah.
So the greatest line was, I go, well, did you hit him back? And he goes, no, it was a fucking beetle. He goes, if it was one of the monkeys, it'd be go time.
Hey, we got Johnny O on the phone. Johnny O.
It's Roz. Hold on, I'll put him on.
Oh, okay. Hi, Roz.
Hey, Roz.
Hey, Roz.
Hey. How you guys doing?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Hey,
Johnny O. Is it like awake? Are you guys like just making yourselves feel better just by being around each other? Is that how it works? Or is it like
kind of
just really still too sad? I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's too. More or less
we're having some laughs, just telling old stories.
Some funny stories.
We're trying to put the sadness away, make jokes, and then when we all get home tonight, we're going to cry some more.
Continue to cry some more. But it's just about...
I'll be honest. I got to be honest. I faked it today. JC, you know, the wrestler called, and I thought, well, this is a perfect time to cry. A 350-pound guy who breaks boards over his head. I can cry with this fucker, you know? And can I say fucker or no?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, he was a pecker. At any rate, so he's crying, and I started trying to cry with him, and it was just fake. You know,
you should have had him throw you up against the couch or the wall.
You know, it's like when you're a little kid and your least favorite grandparent died, and your parents are like, "Are you going to cry yet?" You know. So I was still in shock.
Well, fake,
I was just saying. At any rate, my brother started talking to me. He came over and we're hanging on the deck. Yeah, okay. And he said, "Remember what Mom used to say?" And it was funny, typical Irish thing. If you told them that someone died and they knew them, they would go, "Oh." But if they didn't know them, like my mother would go, "Well, nobody said this was a dress rehearsal." You know. My mom's an evil bitch, is what I'm trying to say. The point is, my brother brought that up to me, and all of a sudden, I just started wailing about Otto.
Yeah,
and but I felt better when I did it. But then all of a sudden, Ross comes outside and goes, "Bobby Capelli called. He's on the line." That's the guy that put all the money up for the pig roast. So I get it on the phone. I'm still sniffling the Bobby Capelli. I just gave him the worst fucking 10-minute conversation of his life because I was just, you know, babbling and sniffling and, you know. You're like, "I'm doing to you right now," Raj just said. "No, I'm not doing that."
Oh, women.
Oh, Raj had to go. Look, she's all excited now.
Oh, that was great.
At any rate, it's just one of those things that all you guys that are in that room, I know, have the same good feeling that I do, that you at least, you know, told them you loved them, or you told them you laughed your ass off, or you said something to them that made them feel, you know, good.
Am I allowed to be sentimental?
So no one, you know what I mean? It's like I always say, like, tell your parents you love them because it's the truth. Just say you don't want them to go. You know, your least favorite cousin that you can't stand. Say it just for the hell of it, in case he wins the lottery.
Johnny, hold on. Cousin Joe wants to say something.
You know, is it the
cousin
of,
Joe?
Hey, man. No, the risk of sounding corny and bringing the mood down even further.
No corny tonight.
No, I know. But Johnny, seriously, I want to thank you because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have had all those summer barbecues hanging out with Otto. Me and him sitting down
outside on your deck making fun of the other guest that your dumb wife had over. Sorry. And
waiting for him on New Year's.
I'm kidding, Roz. I love you. No, but seriously, man, I really cherish and appreciate those times. And
Joe thinks
Roz is telling you now there's a missing urine cake.
Joe just wants to make sure he's still going to get invited over.
Yeah,
yeah, I know. Joe, you're in. Don't worry. Relax. You're in. Just bring the fireworks and don't hit on the best friend's wife anymore.
That's one of my favorite fireworks videos I have is me lighting up fireworks at Johnny O's backyard and Otto going, yeah, Joe, yeah. Yeah,
like a child.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There was one time for Joe Conte's birthday, me, Johnny O, Otto, and Joe Conte, we go down. There's a place called Favorites down by my place in Woodbridge, and it's a racing a horse racing place, like an OTB, but like one of the first big ones in Jersey. And we get a steak, you know what I mean? It's Conte's birthday. We're gonna play a little bit on the ponies, right? So Conte goes up and pays a little money, gets a ticket, and Johnny O pays a little. I go up and get a thing. The races start happening, and Otto has one of the programs, and he's screaming, come on, you nag! Come on, come on, come on! He didn't fucking bet a dollar.
He didn't bet a dollar on the race.
He's just...
No, remember, he would love to go... My impression of the last race at Aqueduct, and he would just tear up a matchbook in front of you.
Didn't have a dollar on the race, and he's tearing. Come on, you nag!
And there we go. Why are you guys so into that? Are you into sports? Otto, the Yankees are the home team.
What's he talking about?
No, this is what I would have conversation. I go, Otto, it doesn't matter where they're playing. Wherever they're playing, the last team up is the home team. And he would go, all right, so the Giants are playing the Cowboys, but they're still in the Meadowlands. But the Cowboys get the last kickoff. I'm glad I'm talking to you guys. Everybody in that room is braver than I am, because I just didn't think I could go there and just hang out.
I wasn't sure how it was.
I was going to call in too, but then they kicked me out of the park. I was wandering.
Was that Karuch?
Yeah,
him and McGruff were walking around with a fucking concert.
Can I just say right now, as long as we're just talking, what really tore my heart out, but I got a call from Tom Cermak, and he said, you're doing the right thing. I was calling people, and I was in the letter C in my comedy phone book, and anybody A and B, you're either dead or you're dead to me. But anyway,
there was no B's because that's for Booker.
So I quit. Shut up. I knew there was a ton of C's, so I went right to C. And half the guys I called had an inkling, you know. And I called Joe, I called Keith, and then Joe was on the other line. But then I called Karuch. And he picks up the phone like, you know, Johnny O! And it was like, I knew I was going to ruin this motherfucker's day today. You know, I just felt so bad. Hey, open your mouth and take the fucking hydrogen bomb that I'm about to drop on
I'm
you.
I'm glad you called me, though, man. I'm really glad I found out that way.
It was. So this guy, Tom Cermak, said, he goes, John, you're doing the right thing. You don't remember Tom. You remember Tom down the shore.
Of course. Tommy Cermak.
The disbarred lawyer.
He said, John, he goes, you're doing the right thing. And it made me feel better, because it's like, and I said, what do you mean? And he goes, they're either going to read it on Facebook or something, or you get to tell them. And I was like, all right. So I kept making the calls. But Jesus, right, the same thing with Jeff Norris. I was the first one to drop it on him. You know, whatever you think of these guys I'm talking about, I'm just telling you, it's rough to be the jerk off that's dropping that bomb, you know?
Yeah, that's it's
and
a
I didn't know what
thing.
Else to do, you know? At any rate, so I'm glad I brought this to a standing still.
Wow. Johnny, the whole night tonight, you know, I talked to you this morning. You were one of the first ones I spoke to. And tonight, me and Joe just decided we'll get some pals on the phone and some guys in the studio and you know, just have a couple of laughs, you know?
Who the hell am I talking to?
It's Kenny.
Kenny, he sounds like a middle-aged white woman during a hostage crisis.
It's all that muscle like makes it real.
I'm kidding. Kenny, I knew that was you. I'm still hard, but I knew it was you. Listen, totally serious. I don't know what else to say except that, it's like one of those things where, you know, it's like it's slowly going to hit you. It's slowly going to nail you. And it took all day for me. And you know, we're all blessed. I guarantee every guy in that room can say that they either hugged him, they told him they love him, or they told him what a funny motherfucker he was. Yeah, and so they don't have to fucking, you know, go to sleep tonight feeling, you know, they didn't do something, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
A couple of us told them we never talk about this again also. And this never happened.
Well, yeah, what happens in upstate New York stays in upstate
Reading,
New York.
Pennsylvania stays there. Yeah,
Johnny O.
Yeah, the sad part is you guys are thinking that's a partying joke, but with Carucci, it was a soft porn minor joke.
Yeah, having sex with a hoarder in a fucking camper.
Yeah. All right, so we could talk about it.
You made that movie with the alien ant farm on your penis, but no one told you. Never told anybody about the fucking two shorts you made with my niece.
Jesus Christ!
There we go.
All right, brother. Well, thanks for calling
in,
man.
Sorry. I'm not funny tonight. I knew it. I only called because...
Give the phone back to Ross.
I know. So why is tonight any different? Thanks.
All right, brother.
I'm telling you, it's been a rough...
Fuck yeah.
It's been a rough 24 hours just to navigate and figure out and... Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know... I just I say a prayer and I just feel like we're all blessed and we're all Jersey guys, and you get, you know, that, you know, the average State of the Union's comedy is not what we are. We are a bunch of piranha trying to take each other out.
Our Tony, you know? Soprano died, dude. That's what happened. That's how I looked at it. Like, he was like the fucking Jersey guy, Otto, you know. We all looked up to him. He showed us. He knew everybody in the business.
We're all better people and comics because of him.
Yeah.
We're all better fucking people and comics.
He knew it, you know, very compassionate.
Holy shit. Holy shit, you guys bought that shit I was just selling?
That little shit.
I was just fucking up to the guineas in the room. Yeah.
Tell your wife to put the strap on back on and continue what you guys are doing, all right?
No, you guys are absolutely right. And I just feel like, you know what? We're blessed to be in a hotbed. I don't care if any of us makes it. We know what we do to a crowd, and we know what Otto did to a crowd. And God bless Otto and George.
Yeah. And all of us, man.
All of you. Well, most of you. I can't see the room.
One thing we were saying.
That's a first.
One thing we were saying, Johnny, is we were trying to mention the horrible places Otto will never have to play again, and we'll have to. The plague rode in.
That's why he's smiling right now.
Right. Sure, I know. Is.
Definitely. Plank wrote in Z Caucus.
Yeah.
You want to hear something crazy? I may as well just tell this. It'll be a scoop. There was a thing on the Facebook, and Johnny Rizzo calls me and says that this guy wrote that Otto died riddled with cancer, and that he was taking for the last 10 years this nutritious food substance, blah blah blah. And I'm thinking the guy's a salesman. You know who it was? Eddie Brill, the guy that used to
book the Tonight Show.
What the fuck is he talking about?
He's doing
about?
Infomercials now.
Eddie Brill.
Okay, so the bottom line. All right, the bottom line is, without knowing a goddamn thing and being an idiot who's proud that I know how to work Facebook, I think I do. I typed in, "What the fuck are you talking about?" I said, "Otto had meningitis a year ago, and he beat it shortly after." I said, he's, as far as that, he's healthy as a horse. Where do you get off? You know, blah, blah, blah. I was hardcore. And all of a sudden, on my private message, it's Eddie Brill wants to call me. And then Ross said, you know, he's calling now. So I went over to the phone. The phone rings.
Guess what, Johnny? You'll never do the Tonight Show.
Eddie Brill for an hour. And he's explaining to me how he loves Otto. And it wasn't, you know, he really, it came off wrong. You know how Otto would say, you know, little things that, you know, I knew I was sick for this and I'm doing that. And he just, you know, inflated it, I think, a little bit. But he wasn't being a dick. And I'm not being a suck-ass now.
No,
I was
no Johnny, Johnny, this is Coletta. I'm on my Facebook, on my phone. I was just looking up Eddie Brill. Do you want me to call off the recon I was about to do?
Yeah, call it off.
He promised to get Johnny on the Arsenio show.
Yeah.
Hey,
can you grab me a beer, please?
Oh, okay. Thank you. You
get
might
out
have,
of the room.
Jesus Christ. You might as well just told me
that. I need a beer. This has yeah. been a rough day, man.
Yeah.
I really was good up until about 2 hours ago. My brother came over, and when he said that, that was the thing that hit me. It was like my mother would go, if it was a good friend of a family or just someone that we knew, oh, so and so. And as soon as it's someone we didn't give a fuck about, it was, well, nobody said this is a dress rehearsal, you know. And it was one of those things where. So it bothered, what bothered me, my brother said it to me, and just the fact that my mother hit me in the head with that, and then I thought of Otto and the finality, and just, God damn it.
Do you see that?
I swear to God, JC called earlier and he was fucking bawling. And I figured, you know what? If you're going to let a cry out, it couldn't hurt to do it with a 350-pound guy who breaks bottles over his head, you know? So I figured, what the fuck? I'll cry with him. And I just couldn't get the cry out. I just.
That's
it
all right.
Didn't happen.
Do you see it right now, John?
Think about your career.
Do you actually see it right now?
I can't hear him. What?
Do you see it right now?
Do I see what?
The light that we've been giving you for fucking 5 minutes.
I don't have the show on. My wife is put on Facebook and I'm listening to it. Oh, you've been giving me the light.
In closing, Eddie Brill is a cunt. All right.
A cunt.
Can I say that? It's you know, I'm Joe Conte. You are the only motherfucker on the planet
that can
actually fucking light somebody at their own wedding.
I know. It's a shit day, dude, and it's all about good memories of our pal and all the great things that he did, and him, like you said, making us laugh, making us better, making us just better people, and just having a great friend.
Here. I'm going to give you one last laugh that I think is funny.
Go ahead.
So if you watch the wedding video,
okay,
right before Conte gives me the light, Otto is half in the bag yelling out, "Enough! Enough!" Me and my wife are making a speech. You know, you drop 40 grand on a fucking party for fucking 6 hours. You think you're going to, you know, make a little speech.
Yeah.
You're supposed to, anyway. He's yelling, "Enough!" My brother was so pissed off. So then.
Johnny finally did 30 minutes.
What did Caruso say?
I said you did 30 minutes. That was too much.
You know. I'm so glad that Karuch has finally come out of the closet. And his...
No, that he found his lumps.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh. Yeah, and got rid of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good. My wife is helping me here. You hear that one? That's what's going to help me.
Yeah, your wife's adding with cancer jokes.
I'm riding the fucking dragon right here into the fucking abyss, and she says, yeah, do something about his lumps. Yeah, thanks.
Oh, shit. You don't want to piss off Roz and Eddie Brill in one day.
Yeah. Yeah, one won't book you and one won't hook you, so.
I'm glad you guys are, you know what, you did the right thing. You guys are braver than I am. I just didn't think I could handle it well, so I figured, you know, but I'd love to, we'll all get together soon.
Very soon.
It's one of those things. Where,
yeah, we will be for sure, so.
We're between all the pals, man. The guys are up here tonight because he meant a lot to us, so we're gonna keep him alive.
Of course,
we're gonna keep him alive. Not in a Ted Williams way,
or Walt Disney.
Yeah.
but
we're just gonna keep talking about him, man, because we all have too many stories.
I got.
Here's my favorite. I want to give you my favorite story that I think is funny that I don't like to. It's embarrassing to tell, but it's funny.
Okay.
So remember that recent comedy experiment called the Dancing Monkey?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So, and I remember Joe Conte. I remember Kenny. I remember Mario Gentile helping to spackle and paint.
Yep.
And then the first night, the jerk, I'm not going to say his name. He doesn't deserve the reputation. But I said, he says to me, you believe these guys are here? I said, they did all this work. Are you not going to put them on? He goes, oh, they're here for stage time. I'm like, yeah, and they helped work. So I'm like already at, you know, going at it with this fucking guy. There's a point to this story. I swear to God. So Otto shows up. We're literally putting wet paint on wet spackle on a Wednesday night so that the place can open on Friday, which was a complete mistake and horror show. But having looking back, you know what? The audience was actually didn't notice a thing. Both people, at any rate.
They thought it was an AA meeting.
Yeah.
I've been to that gig.
So at any rate, so Otto comes up to me and he goes, Johnny O, you look like you're stressing out. You got to come with me. And he brings me to this Korean whore. It was a Korean massage right around the corner from his where he lived with Chip, when he lived with Chips.
Right, down at the bottom of the hill.
Right.
Yeah.
Look how Connie has a happy memory. Did the table just go up on his side? At any rate, all right. Nothing, okay?
Well, yeah,
I don't hear anything.
Ricket?
All right. At any rate, so he says, Johnny O, you know, they'll give you a massage or whatever else you ask for. I'm like, okay. And I went in there, and I was so tired, and I had a girl with garlic breath. And as soon as she told me to get on my stomach, I had that hole in the table that I'm breathing fresh air out of.
Right, of course.
So yep. The next thing you know, I'm asleep, and I'm dog tired because I was working all day, and I'm a deep sleeper. I went out like a light.
Don't take care.
Okay.
I know I'm boring the shit out of you guys. I can hear guys leaving during this story. The point of the story is that it's a funny story. So I wake up, and what I wake up to is, you know, all these fucking Koreans are screaming because they couldn't wake me up, and they couldn't get me off the bed or off the table. So they're like, yeah, 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 yeah. And then in the middle of it, you just hear Otto, you know, I don't know what happened, you know. And then you hear, yeah, 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 yeah. So now 2 months later, I go to the same fucking place with Otto, only this time I'm not tired, I'm drunk. And I went out like a light, same thing, you know, garlic breath on the fucking little, cute little Korean. And I have my head in the fucking hole. I'm breathing fresh air. And I just went out like a light, worse than the first time. Only this time, when I finally wake up, I swear to God, I hear the same thing. And in the middle of it, you hear Otto yelling, well, he's done this before. Throw him out.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I remember this story. Yeah, yeah. Otto was telling the Koreans to throw you out because you passed out.
You know what? I ruined the punchline because the truth is he really did yell, well, then throw him out.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
He's
yeah.
done this before. The point is he fucking remembered. It's one of those things where you're like, how the hell? This guy saw everything. All right, I'm babbling. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
To cheer myself
don't
up.
Don't apologize.
No, you're doing the opposite of babbling. You're stopping in the middle of a sentence.
Jesus, Gandhi.
But we...
I wish I had something else to say.
No,
you know, it's one of those things. Down the line, we'll all have some stories and... I just my heart is out to Trish, and let's all say a prayer as she gets through this, and his family, and you know, God bless. We lost one of the funniest fuckers that we're ever gonna meet, and we're all blessed to know him.
Yeah. We lost one of our best friends.
Yep.
That's what I said. I said to Roz, I go, you don't realize, besides what a phenomenal, hilarious talent. He would just, you know, be your backer, your supporter. He would say shit, you know. He would, you know, he got everything. You could tell him, he goes, have that show go. You go, they had a host that was a pretty boy. And he fucking would immediately say something that made you lose the next 10 minutes of your conversation, you know. He would sum it up in 2 seconds, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, well,
I'm babbling.
No. Well,
is that his new here boy Pip?
All right, I'm back.
We're gonna take it because
tell Carucci to start talking out of his back with that fucking vagina growing there.
Well, he left. Hey, because he left. A phone call.
Yeah,
he left Johnny O.
Johnny O, just think about it. Besides, for like the last couple of years, when you know, you got married and whatnot, and the guys kind of split up a bit, you know. But for
yes, I agree.
For
Roz is sitting right here. Explain to Roz. There wasn't pussy. It was just party.
No, and Bev's right here too. Yeah, everybody got locked up, and you know, Otto with Trish and Conti and Bev and you and Roz. But before that, 8 years we pretty much spent every weekend together. You know,
dude, I swear to God.
So what you're saying is these women have completely fucked everything up and killed Otto.
Hold on, I just got a text message from a friend of mine who lives in the area where Johnny O lives. Uh-huh. And he just texted me, said, I'm driving by Johnny O's house. I can pull up in front of his house and shine my high beams on him to light him.
That's funny. That's Ron said that's funny. I don't know.
Really, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Johnny O, man, of course. Thank you, man.
Roz, good to hear you too.
I'm just trying to get rid of me, I can tell.
Yeah, we can edit this all out in post.
I wish I had something really hilarious to tell you, and I'll have, you know, my memory will be back. I'm in that weird place right now, but, you know, it's called mourning, and I give you guys credit. I don't have the guts to get together with, like, I'll go to a wake, you know, and the wake is for the living, you know? You all get together, and you... And you guys did the right thing, and but I just didn't think I could do it. But I really...
Well, you did. You called in, dude. You did.
I'm glad I did. Yeah. But the truth is, I'm half in the bag right now, and I haven't eaten.
Well, so am I. Don't worry about it. No worries. All right, bro.
I sat in the driveway listening to Opie and Anthony for 3 fucking hours before they finally got to it, and I was told that, you know, they were going to play it. So I'm out there, and I'm sunburned. My battery doesn't work. And sounds like my honeymoon.
All right,
that was just my wife's end. Anyway,
why don't you end on something very mediocre, will you?
Oops.
Did you hang up on him?
No.
What happened?
No.
Johnny, are you there?
Oh, what happened? He hung up on himself.
I don't think he did.
That wasn't me. I swear, I would never hang up on him.
No, I know.
No. But holy Christ almighty.
All right, you want to take one last quick break and we'll finish up last half hour?
Okay.
Yeah, let's go to 10.
All right, we'll be right back.
All right, Conti and Kenny Show.
Hey, great to be here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I finally fucking get to L.A. and Pamela Lee is married. That whore.
All right. Now.
Married. Even the priest was angry. He said, I now pronounce you one lucky motherfucker and wife.
Good crowd, right?
This crowd sucks. It's nice girls here. Have a cocktail. A cock.
All right, now.
Fuck that shit. So OJ's out here, huh? I'd like to bang him in the ass, too.
All right.
That would make a great Hertz commercial. Me fucking OJ in the ass, right in his leather Cheerio. Then he turns to the camera and goes, ow, Hertz!
All right, now. Hey, George, do you think OJ did it?
Did Rose Kennedy own a black dress? Cock. Johnny Cochran, suck my cock, doo-dah. All right, now. Johnny Cock, doodle-doo. All right. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. That fucking guy could have said anything that would have let him out. Ladies and gentlemen in the jury.
Pussy.
All right, now. A stank it, pussy. All right, now.
She had a stank it,
pussy.
All right.
I ate a lot of burritos when I was out here, and Yoo-Hoo is rocketing out of my asshole. Man, them fucking burritos, they leave exit wounds the next day, you know?
You like that stuff?
You know when you get a burrito and they give you sour cream? You know what that's for? That's to rub on your asshole the next day. You gotta cool off your fucking starfish.
All right.
Hey, you know, fags get turned on by that joke. They go, ew, sour cream on the asshole. Check, please. All right. I gotta suck someone's cock. All right. Madonna is pregnant. How the fuck are they gonna figure out who knocked that whore up? Come on, Madonna. That girl has been slammed more times than a screen door in a hurricane.
Got to tell you, we're flying a Spirit airline to Pittsburgh. What'd you say, $10, you Jew fuck? No, it's the only flight in my fucking balls. Spirit Airlines sucks. You better hug your fucking parents before you get on that fucking plane. Don't make me nervous. Anytime you fly Spirit Airlines, you crash in a cornfield. That's like a mile from the airport. Why don't they just move the airport to the cornfield? This your captain's thinking, we're cranks. Thank you for flying Spirit Airlines and suck my cock on the way down. Headphones are now $1.50. All right. Anytime I get in an airplane, I'm never sitting next to a cute girl. I'm always sitting next to some old fuck that wants to talk to me, you know. Where you from? Where you going? I don't know you. Die! Where am I going? Look at your ticket. That's where we're all going. I flew recently. I got to meet the Pope. I was flying. The Pope was sitting right next to me. It was cool. He was doing a crossword puzzle, you know. He turns to me, he goes, excuse me, a four-letter word for woman that ends with U-N-T? I said, it's ant. He goes, oh, you got an eraser? I already wrote cunt in the book. The Pope wrote cunt? Pope wrote cunt, needed an eraser. All right. Pope wrote cunt, pass it down. Okay. Don't drink the milk, it's spoiled. Pope wrote cunt. All right. Pope got a stinky pussy. Don't say that. The Pope got a stinky pussy. All right.
We're back.
We are back.
Conti Kenny Show.
Tribute to Otto.
Special show. Tribute to our pal, Otto Peterson. From the legendary duo, as they call it, Otto and George.
Change the song. It's depressing me.
Yeah, man. That song really got me. I've been kind of holding
on
it together
an Alan Sherman
for most
song
of the day, but that song just messed me up.
What my favorite?
Can we come back from the next break with Everybody Hurts?
I was gonna do Johnny Cash Hurt Motherfuckers. All right, so that would have been pretty bad.
One of my favorite jokes of all time, Otto and George jokes, where he goes, two black guys walk into a car dealership. And one says, are you thinking about a car? He says, no.
Are you thinking about buying a Cadillac?
Thinking about buying a Cadillac?
We are buying a Cadillac. Oh, no, no.
No. Are you thinking about buying a Cadillac? No, I'm going to buy the Cadillac. I'm thinking about pussy.
That's right, yeah.
One of my favorites, are buying a Cadillac. I can't do the voice, so I'm not going to, but one of my favorites was he was going into O&A, and he was on, and he goes, I saw a black guy in the lobby with a tattoo, and he goes, hey, you like my tattoo? And I go, where? You should have rode in white out, you filthy circus ape.
Yeah, when, run from the cops. Yeah.
When I was on O&A with him, we're sitting there.
Oh, when he told you to just join the conversation?
Yeah, yeah. And the microphones in the studio here aren't nearly as sharp or crisp as...
They don't pick up as...
In the big thing. And it was in the it was 92.3 when they were 92.3 K-Rock. And they would do the walk... Yeah, K-Rock and they would do the walkover.
Yeah.
So I did my Sopranos impersonations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we just started having a conversation. And he actually took a picture. And there's a picture of me and Norton next to each other with Otto. And he blew it up, and it was brilliant. He gave it to me. But you see, if anyone could ever find the audio of it, he sits there, and he's like, all you hear is, just join in whenever you want. just join in.
He thought he was talking off mic.
And me and him are sitting this close to each other, and he just leans in, and the mic picks it up. and Norton Norton goes, "What the hell did you just say?" And Opie was like, "He's the worst whisperer of all time." Like, he's just being a pal because he's like, "Just pop in whenever you want."
You know, the thing about Otto, I don't think a lot of people realize, like, you know, like you were saying, you know, he would do, like, you know, that joke about, you know, the filthy circus ape, you know? Like,
yeah.
But, and I saw it 100 times. He would do that joke, but if there were, like, a decent amount of black people, or if there was only, like, one couple or one black guy there, he wouldn't do that. He would do the joke, but he would say, "You should have used whiteout, you fucking idiot." He never as much as he wanted to, you know, really push the envelope or whatever,
be,
you know, cliche,
whatever you want to call it.
He never wanted to, without like being provoked, to humiliate anybody.
Right.
If you notice,
right,
like there'll be a big fat guy in the front row. "Hey, what are you doing? Fucking do a sit up." Right?
Yeah.
Ring dings. Always fat jokes. Never would he ever do that to a woman that's sitting in the front row.
Right.
He wouldn't do it. The puppet, as brutal as he was, because it's like, what do you, it's like walking up to a 5-year-old and going, "Hey, kid," and you punch him in the face. Like, what are you getting out of that?
Right. He really appreciated the crowd.
But it was a difference where, hey, I'm going to push the envelope. I'm going to fuck with people.
Right.
But, oh, really? I'm going to make fun of a woman who's overweight? But somebody told me a story where there was some woman at a show. Somebody told me this today, and all the comics were getting abused by this woman, and she's this big fat woman, and she was being a twat, like, the whole time.
Just heckling?
Fucking abusing all the comics.
Right.
And Otto went up there and be like, "Hey, look, everybody, it's Jabba the Cunt." And, you know what I mean? But he was obviously provoked.
Right.
You know?
Another thing with Otto, when you worked with him, is that he would do everything to make the guys that work with him laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
He would
I told that today when I called Ron Fez.
Yeah,
I did.
He would do stuff. Me and him went out to Pennsylvania and did a show, and we ate at, like, a rest stop and drove, you know, 5 hours out or whatever it was, and then we were starving, so we got Burger King. And I mentioned him. I'm like, it was the next day. We did 2 shows, the Friday and Saturday. So the Saturday afternoon, I go, "I can't eat Burger King again. I'm all gummed up." And he's like, "You're all gummed up." So that night at the show, he would just sit there and go, "I push that. I'm all gummed up." every punchline, he would just go, "I'm all gummed up."
Just an inside joke between you
just
and
between
him.
Just between me and him.
And he was giving a fuck to the audience.
That's all it was. It was just between me and him. They had no idea what "I'm all gummed up."
Right.
Had no idea.
That was his way of saying that's for us.
The last show I did with him, a couple of weeks ago, we do the show. It's me, him, and Johnny O. And great show, 400 people, whatever it was. And I do a joke about vaginas, and I, out of nowhere, I just mentioned, I was like, you know, vaginas are like snowflakes; they're all different, because I talk about different pussy, different vaginas.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But I say vaginas, so I drop him off at his house. I get George out of the trunk. And I give him a hug and "All right, pal." And I go walk around and I'm like, "All right, man, it was a good show." He's like, and he just looks back and goes, "Yeah, pussies are like snowflakes. Good show." that's all he remembered of the entire, because it was one line that he loved. "And pussies are like snowflakes."
When I first started hanging out with him, we were doing a gig at the Brokerage. And at the time, he was living in Edgewater, right by the George Washington Bridge. So I pick him up, and it was a Friday and Saturday. So I picked him up Friday, we went and do the gig, and I drop him off. And at the time, he lived on the 3rd floor, so he would have to carry that big, huge trunk up to the 3rd floor.
And literally, the street that he lived on was like that winding street in San Francisco. You know, that right. You just can't, it was like that in Edgewater, in a mountain.
Lombard?
Yeah, in San Francisco. Yes. Same kind of street. You couldn't
park. Very narrow, you know, you couldn't park. So instead of him taking it, I'm dropping him off Friday night. He goes, "Listen, I don't want to carry that thing up the stairs. Just keep it in the trunk, and tomorrow you pick me up and we'll just go."
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's fine. I did not leave it in the trunk. I know how much money that was worth, so I brought it inside. God forbid my car gets stolen.
Right, right.
You know, and of course I had to take it out. And it was the old one with the fucked up eyebrows. So I'm taking it out. I'm like, ashaga, you know what I mean? I'm having fun by myself, like a complete idiot. But
yeah.
So the next day I put him back in exactly the way he was in the trunk. And like I said, I only knew Otto. I wasn't great friends with him, but I'm just getting to know him. He gets in the car, I'm like, what's up, buddy? And he just looks at me and goes, you know, if you fuck George, he's going to tell me. And he said it with such straight face. He deadpanned it. I didn't know how to react to it. So I was like, does fingering his asshole count? I didn't know what to say.
Oh,
it
so
was
funny.
So weird, but he was great like that.
You were in a legit position to defend yourself about not fucking a puppet.
Exactly. Yeah. He had me defending myself.
Yeah.
He had me defending myself.
I remember one time when I first started working with him, we were doing a Christmas show, and it was in like kind of like a Holiday Inn kind of a thing, kind of, you know, big kind of a venue, and there's Christmas trees and everything in the back, and it was probably the first couple of years I started working with him. I knew him. We hung out a lot at that point, and I'm sitting there and I'm at the table and they're feeding us, you know, the hors d'oeuvres and whatnot, and, you know, the pasta and the salad. And I look over to my right, and in the corner next to a fake Christmas tree with just white lights, he's sitting on his on George's trunk,
right.
And he's arguing with the puppet. He's just sitting there having an argument with the, like an animated argument. He's going, no, no. And the puppet's going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you can see the puppet's eyes and a mouth moving. And I don't know if it was for us, you know what I mean? But it was brilliant. I'm like, he's having an argument with the puppet.
It was. Definitely. Yeah. He always knew.
Well, one of
he,
the,
always,
yeah.
he always he knew. So, he always knew
he
that.
He would.
That it, you know, he knew the difference.
Yeah,
he never
yeah.
got into that psycho, you know, that, right. that psychosis where he starts to think the puppet's real.
Right? No, never.
One of the best things, and I'm sure a couple of us comics have some footage that we have to dig into, but the best thing was that he would make you laugh. He didn't give a shit if there was 500 people. Whoever he drove in the car with, he would just whatever line he got or something, he would just do it over and over again.
He did this thing where one night he must have said it on stage and it didn't make any sense and nobody got it, but it made me laugh. He was doing something and he just went, muchos moscas. I don't even know what it means. Have no idea what it means.
Here it is. Muchos moscas
yeah.
is from a 70s movie where a guy chops the head off of a guy and he's got to deliver the head. It's one of those old, what the hell's the guy's name?
Like son a Charles of a bitch. Bronson movie?
Not a Bronson movie. Not a Bronson movie. It's a...
and time.
No,
continue.
It's like a Tarantino. It's like one of Tarantino's guys. You know what I mean?
Like a little grindhouse kind of movie,
like Rodriguez.
Yeah, no, not Rodriguez. It's one of
does
the guys.
Does this really make a difference to the fucking story?
Doesn't matter. Anyway, the guy chops.
I'll fucking murder you tonight.
The guy,
fucking grouchy. My friend died. I'm tired.
I got a story. Right.
The guy. Anyway, the guy chops his head off and he's got it in a bag and right. he's got to deliver it to another thing. And
he has it in a duffel bag with Joe Pesci. I saw that.
No, a different one. Older, 70s. No, but anyway, the little kid, he's got the windows rolled. He's got the windows rolled down. And the little Mexican kid just goes and looks in the window and goes, muchos moscas, because there's just flies all over this duffel bag
okay.
with a head in it. So, of
so
course,
that's where that comes from.
No one's going to
so
know.
So he knew that I would just laugh for just no reason whenever he would say muchas moscas. So he'd be up there doing his shit.
Would he just tag a joke with that?
Dude, he'd be
no
like,
reason?
Yeah, so, you know, hey, are you thinking about buying a Cadillac? We are buying a Cadillac. We're thinking about pusa, muchas moscas. He would just add it in.
Yeah, he would,
and
yeah.
I would be in the back dying, and they're like, there's a retarded gentleman
yeah.
in the back laughing at something that makes no sense.
Yeah, the Pope broke cunt. I'm all gummed up.
That was
I'm all gummed up.
I saw Otto and George a million times live, and some of my favorite times was watching the audience's reactions.
Yes.
Just being horrified.
That's
not knowing
that's the best part is watching the audience, especially if you bring in friends that you know are seeing them for the first time.
Right.
It's great to watch them.
You know what's really great? When he's doing a huge room and you're watching the audience or you watch him. Like I find myself watching a room full of like 300 people move in the same direction. Like when it's a big laugh and you pull back
yeah.
and you go forward, almost like watching the old offensive linemen go up and down. It's amazing to see 300 people make the same motion because they're all laughing at the same exact fucking time
yeah.
or just leaned over in tears. It's great.
Hold on. I've got to say something. Guest 303, it's so comforting to hear everyone speak so highly of my brother-in-law. My family and I will miss him every minute of every day.
Is that his wife's? Oh, wait a minute.
I'm not sure who that is, but.
Shit! Thanks yeah, for listening.
Yeah, man. This was nothing for us to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, not that it was nothing for us to do this.
No,
like it was tough to do this, but to think, should we do this for our friend? Of course.
Yeah.
And nobody, mm-hmm. you know, nobody deserves this in our group more than him because this guy's been through more shit. And he's done more for people than he really ever knew. You know what I mean?
That's what bothers me.
He never knew how great he was.
Exactly.
And he never knew how much he did for people.
How much we adored him.
Yeah.
See, you know, I was thinking about you today because your CDs, I remember I edited your CD for you. And like how we put that
oh, that's why it
answer
failed.
Machine message. yeah.
Well, the auto message.
It was Otto's message you left for Joe.
Yes.
If you got to get Joe's CD to hear it.
Happiness.
Yeah. Happiness.
Now I'll actually have sales now because they're remember? Like, wow, Otto and George is on Conti's CD.
I don't know if I saved them on my phone. I'm going to see if I did. But whenever Otto would leave me a message, he'd be like, call Otto. He's thinking too much. like that's all I would say. But like, did you play his Letterman appearance on your show?
No, they played it a bunch of times today.
To me, that really shows like his brilliance and like how he.
We talked about
the way he attacked Letterman.
Smash Letterman! Like
no
that?
One yeah. ever. Would ever do that.
No.
It was, and it was brilliantly funny. And
yeah,
you just watch that. You're like, that's who he... That's a fearless
comedian
right
there.
And
that's one of the greatest things about him is he didn't give a fuck if he was invited back or not. He didn't give a fuck.
No. Well, because he knew they were making fun of ventriloquists.
He knew it was a goof on ventriloquists. Yeah. You know, so he figured, you know what? I'm going to have fun. And even in the act, he kind of foreseen it because he goes, hey, you got 4 minutes up here, Geppetto. You think you're getting back in here tomorrow? You're nuts.
When he called himself no Geppetto way. Or Geppettophile.
Oh, my God.
By the way, for people in the chat, if you don't mind me saying, like Kenny Red, phone lines are open if you want to call in and add your thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We still got like another 15 minutes.
So
the phone number is 442. Oh, I'm sorry. It's 240.
I thought you made it easier.
You just started blurting numbers out.
I hate saying it on a real serious show
I thought
tonight.
You made it easier
it's
with
240.
Your name.
Here we go. 240 high C and K. That's 240-442-2635. If anybody has anything else they want to add,
maybe someone can type it in the chat. Maybe the lovely Marianne or one of our other listeners can put that in there.
Yeah, he was
yeah,
the first
Marianne
one.
Yeah, Marianne, she'll pop it in.
Awesome. 3 years ago, this was summer of 2010. We're driving out to. Eastern Pennsylvania, and we're driving on 78. It was me, Otto, and Trish. Beverly might have been there. I'm not sure.
Trish, of
and
course, is Otto's,
Otto's
girlfriend.
Right. Wife, whatever you would like to call her.
Yeah.
And we're driving, and we're out there, and Otto said something, and he's yelling at me, you know, because that's what Otto would do. He'd be like, shut up, Conti, you fucking... And he stopped. Shit, try that again. And he said something. He's about to call me something. And he stopped. And Trish goes, well, go ahead. Why don't you call him what you've been calling him for years?
Oh, no.
And he's like, oh, shut up, Trish. I don't want to say that. I'm like,
oh, no.
What? What is it? He goes, go ahead. Why don't you tell him? And he goes, I've been calling you a lowland gorilla for like the last 3 years. I was fucking beaming with pride. I loved it. I'm like,
you weren't devastated at all?
Not at all.
No?
No. As a big guy, I took, and I was in a lot better shape at that time, but as a big boy, I took low-length gorilla like, thank you. Like,
but you to could, be smashed by one of the funniest people on the planet well, yeah, is like such a compliment.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, when people say they love to get, I think there's two people on the planet that people will say, I would go pay to get smashed by that person. One of them was Rickles, and the other one was Otto.
Yeah.
The two. Yeah. If you got smashed by Rickles, it was like, it was an honor.
And you knew he cared about you, because if he didn't give a shit about you, he would not
even... He wouldn't even put that much thought into it.
Right, exactly.
Right.
called me a lowland gorilla.
And we actually said we wanted... That better be the name of your next CD.
We actually wanted...
Has to be.
We wanted to do a comedy... And
better go on your gravestone.
We actually said we were going to do like a comedy tour with me and Otto, me opening for him, and it was going to be called The Simian and the Semite.
There you go. That's how you honor him. You write a new hour, and then you'll name it that.
Name it The Simian and the Semite.
No, the other thing.
The low... Otto called me a lowland gorilla on Route 78.
No, lowland... Was it low what?
Lowland gorilla.
Lowland gorilla. Right. Conti, so lowland gorilla.
We'll get the honor in 17 years when Conti writes a new hour.
Exactly.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Thanks for giving me that short period of time. I didn't think I was going to knock it out that
way. Joe was hoping to get his five down by then.
Somebody just tried to call a few minutes ago. Please try to call back. Yeah. We have like 10 minutes left. So.
Yeah, the guest 303-987, I guess the brother-in-law, Otto is the brother-in-law, but Otto loved Rickles. And there was, when he lived up in Edgewater, I found an 8-track tape, Rickles Live at the Riviera, or something like that. And me and him were such big fans, and he never could find it again. And I'm like, dude, you got to find it. He's like, it's in a fucking box somewhere in the attic, and I couldn't find it.
Wow.
Couldn't find it. But... he called you Lowland Gorilla for a while.
Yeah. And I never knew
it. I would have loved to know what Kenny's name was.
Yeah. Loved to know. And when I would get a message from Conti, whenever Conti was happy, Otto would always go, "That's not possible."
Voicemail.
That's the voicemail. I never think of you when I hear the word happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he said something about, Happy New Year. Of course, I never think of you when I say the word happy. Yeah, that's fine. It's on the CD. I don't have the CD on me. I would love to play that voicemail. But if you'd like to, you could just go to iTunes and just, buy the first track for 99 cents.
You can eject it right after that opening.
Exactly. Yeah, pay 99 cents. You get to hear the voicemail that Otto left me, and then don't worry about listening to the rest of the garbage.
I bought mine from CD Baby.
Did you?
Yeah.
Really?
That's right. Nice. Some friend you want. Cheap. I had to buy it.
Should have called me. I have plenty of copies.
Yeah, shit.
I've been selling them.
Fuck. What do you think, man?
Yeah, there's a couple of people that might want to call on the show in a minute, but...
That's all right.
All right, everybody, call!
If you don't mind me taking the time to just maybe give an uplifting note, I'm looking forward to... the great Joe Conti and Kenny Michaels performing live May 9th. Kenny's looking down like, what are you, an idiot?
No.
That's hilarious. No, it doesn't matter.
But
I'm
seriously looking forward to it, and we're all going to be down. And,
me and Kenny are co-headlining a show.
When? May what?
May 9th.
Am I open then?
No, you're not. We checked.
It's Trisha's sister.
Oh, Hoboken, I'm not paying at all.
It's Trisha's sister.
Trisha's sister, yeah.
Very cool.
And
hi, Trisha's sister.
Yeah, and just let her know we're stopping by the house and we got to see her. And
yeah. Yeah, we just got to, it's
I
like,
miss her, yeah.
When do you just
yeah.
go? When do you, I don't want to just go there for the services. I like to pop in there. I think I'm just going to pop in.
We'll figure all that out. But thank you for listening. And this is for you and the family and everybody. We're very close. And I guess whatchamacallit?
No, as much as we laughed.
Manic mode, shameless plug. Yeah, May 9th.
That's my girlfriend.
That was really.
Yeah. No, but as much as we've laughed and joked tonight, I mean, it's obvious why we're here. It's just. I was telling me and Kenny went outside to smoke a cigarette, and I rarely smoke these days. I use electronic, but I had to have a real one. I was just telling him it's barely sinking in for me. I mean, it's just.
I texted Joe. Mike, if you're talking about Otto on the show tonight, I want to come down.
Yeah,
I want to be here
Let's
for this.
See, we got a phone here.
I need someone to talk to.
It's Conti and Kenny show.
Hey, it's Kathy, Trisha's sister, Otto's wife.
Hi, Kathy.
How are you?
Well, this is really hard, but I never have heard your show before, and I hear about you guys through stories from, Trish and everybody, and it's just so nice to hear this after spending 2 days with her. This is amazing. Thank you.
It wasn't even a question. It was just a question of can we, actually do it and do a good job, but it wasn't about, do we want to do this? I mean, you know, it's a matter of, you know.
We've spent so many years with Trish and Otto sleeping over the house and and hanging out. All the guys we've had in the studio have all spent time with both Trish and Otto and
they're family, you know, and that's just it. It's family first, then friends, and then comics and
I know.
You know, it's such a terrible time.
It's, you know, Trisha needs, you know, she needs support and she needs love and she's going to have to get through it. And we're all here to help her and show support. And Otto was just, everybody got to know the Otto, the comic and the comedian and the great guy. But we got to know him as the guy who sat at our Thanksgiving table and Christmas morning and, you know, hugging and kissing and loving and sharing good times and bad times. And he was more than just a comic. He was a friend and he was a confidant and he had feelings and he loved making people laugh, but we loved having him in our family for 15 years. He was part of our family and, you know, he's going to be missed. He's going to be missed by everybody.
Very, very much so.
Yeah.
Kathy, I hate to bring this. How is Trish doing? Is she doing okay? Is she hanging in there?
She's, you know, she's hanging in there and, you know, making arrangements and plans with his family. You know, we spent the day with Otto's sister yesterday and you know, trying to sort through everything and talk about the good times. And, I mean, she's okay. She's all as could be expected, you know. They were together for a long time, and they had a life together, and they planned to grow old together. And
they were such a match.
She is a Conti, though. And me being a Conti, Kathy, I know that the resiliency and the stubbornness that a Conti can have. So,
you know, yes, we all have that. And I really all these kind words. I mean, I don't think she's ready to hear it because I called her and I told her that your show was on, and she's not ready to hear it right now. She said, but she definitely is looking forward to, you know, hearing the recording maybe
in
when she's
time.
A little stronger and. And, you know, really listen to all these kind words that everybody's posting on Facebook and the internet and everything. And it's just, he was my friend and he was more than a brother-in-law and he's going to be missed.
He is. And,
yeah. And from us, you know, we've spent a lot of time and it's not just Otto, you know, passing, but you know, it's we care about Trish because, you know, we've been around Trish for just almost as long as they've been together.
And
know?
Kathy, and let's all be honest here, there is nobody more for each other than those two.
Oh my God, I said that to my sister and I said that to all that know what's, you know, what their relationship was and how great they were, and they were just two souls that were meant to be together.
Meant.
There was no better match for either one of them. I mean, Trish is my sister and he brought her joy and she brought him joy, and they were just truly, if two people were meant to be together and got each other and the little movie and the innuendos and the little snarky comments, it was the two of them. They just were two of a kind, and it was amazing to watch the two of them together because they just got each other. They just got each other.
And I mean this in as much love as you could say. Those two disasters were perfect for each other. And I love them both equally as much. And whatever she needs, she's going to get from all of us.
All of us.
Every single
Thank
one
you,
of us.
Thank you, because that means a lot to me and my family because, you know, this is like she's got to go through all this stuff and everything, but then when it all calms down and reality sinks in that, you know, he's not there when she comes home every night. And, you know, it's just, it's going to be tough. And these kind words and everything that you guys are doing and all the love that's being shown, I hope just carries through for her because it just will hopefully lift her up and, you know, bring her to a better place soon.
Yeah, sooner the better.
And, you know, Otto, he was the one who, I was joking with Trish today and said, for every holiday party and family get-together, he was so proud of his antipasta salad. That's what he brought to the table.
Yes,
he made his antipasta salad, and he came over my house for Thanksgiving, and he set the plate out, and he had to take over my whole island and chop the mozzarella and everything. And it was just, he put this masterpiece together for every holiday
and
the house.
He would leave it out just long enough, like we talked about, just for the cold cuts to sweat and just for the fine cheeses to sweat at perfect room temperature. Yeah, we've enjoyed it also. Yeah.
It's not going to be the same without him. So, but anyway, I really, you know, we've been kind of private about it. So for me to call the show, it's just because I've heard so much about you guys over the years through the two of them. And I just want to thank you for all you're saying and all you're doing and your support for Trish. And I'll certainly, you know, pass it on to her. I'll be talking to her in a little bit, and I'll let her know what's going on.
Absolutely. And thank you, Kathy, for taking the time to call us in. And
we appreciate it.
We're all great pals of both of them, and we love you and love her, and we'll miss him dearly. But
unfortunately, now you're going to be part of our lives too. So get used to that. That's okay.
Otto, anybody who knew Otto is a friend of mine. So so thanks, guys, for all the love and support. We appreciate it as a family.
Thank you, Kathy. And we're going to do everything we can for you guys.
Okay, thank all you. Right. Have a good night, guys. Thanks.
Take care.
Good night.
All right. Bye.
All right, that's it for me. I'm done.
Yeah.
All right.
Perfect. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for being part of this. We really appreciate it. And that's it. We'll see you guys.
Good night. Love you, pal.
Yep.